The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called, jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the police.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. Open locker room just ended, so the boys should be here momentarily. But we are getting ready for the Buffalo Bills, the 2-0 Buffalo Bills. Is this not the same Buffalo Bills as your father knew, or is it different? I think I just said the same thing. Anyway, 2-0, but we've seen that before from Buffalo earlier in the season. So what are we really seeing? Is this Fitzpatrick quarterback the real deal? Is their defense good enough to put a dent in the Patriots' offensive machine? We'll talk about that. Of course, we're going to do our picks toward the end of the show. First, we're going to take your calls and emails at 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. So bring them all in. And as I say that, Paul and Andy come barging in very late. Were you out with the NASCAR guy? Joey Labonte, I guess. Is that his name? Joey Labonte?
Logano.
Joey Logano.
Yes.
Who am I thinking of, Joey Labonte?
Terry and Bobby. Bobby. Oh. And the Labontes are a family, a NASCAR family.
I actually thought that was an intentional Freddism. It wasn't?
No. Joey Logano's here with his car, and I guess he's a big Patriots fan. So.
Where's the car? I would have gone and seen the car. I kept asking people, where's the car? I don't care about him. I want to see the car.
Oh, okay.
And no one
just
told me where
the car
was.
In case you wanted to know, Andy's looking for the car.
Looking for the car.
It's an orange car.
It's an orange car.
I think it would be cool to see.
Who's his sponsor?
Home Depot.
Oh.
It used to be Tony Stewart's ride. That's what they say, I think, ride in the business. And now Joey Logano's an up-and-comer. It's Joe Gibbs Racing, you know.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's an NFL tie-in. But he was out with Steven Gostkowski kicking field goals. Mike Rodak of ESPN Boston went out there. He's very excited because he really, really likes Logano. He's his favorite driver, his idol. So he had a one-on-one with him. He was giddy. It was like I had met Bo Jackson.
That's cool.
How it was.
Good for him. What else? You guys were just in the locker room. I was there for a few moments. It was empty.
Yeah, we almost interviewed you. There was nothing going on. But it picked up a little bit. Sean Ellis spoke. Devin McCourty talked a little bit, talked about one of the things I heard him say is he won't complain this week about not going up against a huge receiver like he has the first couple weeks with Marshall and last week with Jackson. Wasn't an overly active locker room, though, throughout. It was a lot of no disrespect, but B-level players and C-level players, not a lot of top-notch talent in there.
Although I did see a flurry of tweets, Aaron Hernandez walked through the locker room without a limp. Is that
without
true?
A limp. I didn't see a limp. He had a pink headset on.
Was that my prediction?
He had headphones on, listening to music, and appeared to be walking normally.
Was that my prediction?
Yeah, Paul thinks it was a setup.
Yeah.
Really?
I think they intentionally wanted him to walk through so people would look at him and say, oh, he looks fine. He's walking through the locker room, and now Buffalo sees that. Brilliant. I'm dead serious.
But how do you, if you're really in pain, how do you walk without a limp?
I don't think he's in a lot of pain.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's...
No?
Yeah, I don't think they had to call the priest or anything.
It's not a major injury.
Okay, because I saw him earlier, and he was limping.
He limped on the field big time. You saw him today limping.
No, through the week.
Where'd you see him?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
But he was limping.
Yeah, I thought more notable than no limp was the hot pink headphones he was using with his iPod.
Made me laugh.
Pink is the in color now, don't you know that?
Is it?
For men.
Really?
A lot of men wear pink.
I like pink. Yeah. You have a little bit of a pinkish shirt on today.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't when it was first.
It was probably brown when you first style.
No, this is actually the style. It's like a weather-beaten type of style. So it's, I don't know if it's salmon. Not really salmon, but it's off.
Eric will tell you when he's by later.
Yeah.
I chatted with Stephen Gostkowski for a while about the NASCAR thing, and one thing he said that kind of struck me, and I actually tweeted it, was we were talking about he wouldn't want to get in the car. He's just going out there to have fun with Joey, and you know, I said, why not? It's only left turns. You know, that's what people think. And he goes, yeah, I think it's a little bit more than that. And he goes, kind of like kicking.
Ah.
A little snide remark. You know, everybody thinks they can kick and that it's just lining up and kicking the ball through the uprights. Not as easy as it looks.
Okay. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. News from yesterday.
Well, I think one of the big news issues for this game out of Buffalo, not New England, is Steve Johnson may or may not play. And that's an issue, I mean, for them. I mean, that's, we talked about their little bit of a, they're putting together the three pieces you look for in an offense with the receiver, the quarterback, the running back. If that receiver can't go, they're already without Parrish. They're talking about using Spiller. Their depth is challenged a little bit. And obviously, I think we can agree the biggest weakness on the Patriots right now is the pass defense, the secondary. And if they can't take advantage of that, I mean, he had the big play here. That was a 35, 40-yard touchdown. And he can make plays down the field. If he can't play, that helps the Patriots.
I also hear that the team is paying some respect to the tight end, Chandler.
Yeah.
They like what they see from him. And
big, goofy body. If you look at it, he comes from Iowa. He's a big body. He's got weird ears. I don't know if he wrestled while he was there, too. His ears look all mangled. And, yeah, he's got three touchdowns through the first couple weeks. It's weird. He bounced around. He was like a fourth-round pick. He's been on a couple teams' practice squads, bounced around here and there, and now he looks like he's helping them out a little bit in the red zone.
Yeah, he's. I don't think he's as good as Gronkowski, but he is able to use his body and take the ball away from the defender. So
you've never been so disrespectful to Rob Gronkowski in all your life.
So they are, you know, keeping an eye on him, and they're, you know, he's part of the game plan to watch out when they get in the red area about what he can do down there. Fitzpatrick, you know, the more I see of this guy, the more I like the way he stands in the pocket and delivers the ball. He will make a mistake every now and then, but he has that confidence.
He's not a guy that doesn't belong in the NFL.
Yeah.
But the question is he a guy you're willing to say he's my starting quarterback? Because his contract's up this year, so they're going to have to make a decision.
They've already talked about the possibility of franchising him. Imagine that.
I might be more open to that just because I'm not committing long term.
But that's the mentality they
just
have.
Just do the 1 year.
They're not going to be
a hell of a lot of money.
They're not going to be in
for
a situation.
Quarterback.
Average of the top five quarterbacks puts them like what,
$15 million.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
But it's a lot less than giving him 40, 50, or 60 Kevin Cobb got, Matt Castle.
That's your options. Right. You're either going to give him two-thirds of one of those deals that Andy's talking about, or you're going
to
franchise him.
I'd be scared.
I would much rather take a 1 year hit where I overpay him for a year than I would giving him long term. I don't think he's a long term franchise guy. I think that he is, as Andy said, he's a legitimate NFL quarterback. He's a middling NFL quarterback. I don't think you can go anywhere with him.
No.
I think he throws the ball into too much coverage. He's too reckless with the football.
Which is funny because he's a smart player.
I watched a lot of the game last week against Oakland, and there were a lot of opportunities he gave the Raiders to make plays.
And not a good defense.
And, yeah, no. And therefore they didn't make any, many of those plays.
But you give a good defense opportunity to make, you give the Jets a bunch of chances to make plays, they're going to make some of them.
Right. Now, I don't know what to expect necessarily with the Patriots. They're a little bit banged up with that secondary. I think that's one of the keys to this game, frankly, is taking advantage of the opportunities to make plays. Last year in Buffalo, you remember the interception Jarrad Page made in that game? Deep in Buffalo territory, just a diving, coming off his man, diving play on an out. Terrific play. Not a routine interception. You need to make him pay. And last year they did. They had three picks in Buffalo, I think two here in Foxborough. Five interceptions he threw against the Patriots last year. So you can't win doing that if you're Buffalo. Their defense can't overcome your offense. Their offense's mistakes.
Speaking of banged up Patriots, word is that Chung had surgery on his thumb.
Yes,
is that confirmed or is it? Do we know?
I mean, it's reported.
I mean, confirmed by the Patriots?
No.
No.
It's reported.
It's reported.
I'm sure it's true.
Right.
Are we looking at him as in or out for this game at this
point?
Oh,
I would say out. He did not practice.
He didn't practice.
I would say it's unlikely he'd play. Yeah, I won't be stunned if he did, but I think it's unlikely.
I would think he's going to miss some time here. I don't think it's a long-term thing, but I would guess he would miss some time.
I think all these thumb injuries are Twitter-related.
Oh.
It's better than lockout-related.
A lot of thumb injuries.
Texting.
He's a tweeter.
Yeah.
BlackBerry-itis or whatever.
I'm still going by.
You're listening?
They're trying to actually use their hands now when they tackle, and they're not used to that.
It's true. Merriweather hasn't broken his thumb yet.
What happened to Joey Labonte?
In the Big Bang Club.
I don't know.
some other news, not Patriots, that I heard yesterday. D'Angelo Hall saying that, you know, when he knows about a player with an injury, he targets it.
Right.
And
everybody does.
Yeah.
He's just dumb enough to say it.
Exactly. Why do you say it?
Well, we've seen the NFC East is the dumb of the dumb. We saw the Giants do what everybody does, but do it so blatantly that you got a memo issued. And now you see another player on the Redskins do something everybody does. Teddy Bruschi's admitted it. If he knows there's a hamstring, he might lean on a hamstring coming out or whatever he can with a running back. But you can't say it going into the game like
right.
a dumbass.
Right.
It's just stupid.
It is just, yeah, I don't understand how someone could be that stupid. I mean, this is your profession. You know,
it's just not having an awareness and understanding of being intelligent and being the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. I mean, it's no different. I mean, every profession has things you can and
right.
can't do and say.
Unspoken rules.
Right.
Right.
And yet, apparently, they need to be spoken to some of these idiots.
Right. Paul, you want to weigh in on that?
No, I totally agree with both of you. I mean, I think we know, just like the faking injuries that Andy brought up. I think we know what happens. We know these things go on. Can't be blatant about it.
No.
Can't be stupid. And that's just stupid.
Yes.
And they, you know, it was funny. I was listening to the Inside Access, the show on NFL Network that at 7 o'clock. What's it called? I don't know. It's their.
Oh, Total Access.
Total Access. And they
I knew it wasn't Inside Access. I thought it was a new show that I didn't know about.
They polled a bunch of people about injury, you know, faking injuries, players and coaches, and it was all winking at it. Oh, no, we would never do that.
Well, did you see Shanahan said,
I can't
say that I've never told a player to do it. I won't say I have.
Right, right. So
that's what it is. I mean,
yeah.
And as much as Goodell wants to clean things up, do certain things, he needs to understand that the game started long before he got there and will continue long after he leaves.
Yeah.
And there's some things that are part of the
but
game.
But of all the suggestions I've heard so far to address that, if you're going to address it at all.
Why?
Albert Breer, I think, had the one with the most merit so far. He said that if the injury occurs during, you know, a hurry-up, you're not allowed to substitute.
So you have to play with 10 guys?
No. You can substitute for the injured guy, but you can't. That's it.
Oh.
That's it.
I guess. I just don't think it needs addressing. I think it's another one of these things where
I think my thing about the guy that gets hurt has to sit out the series.
Well, that's another one, but
I think that's easy.
But if one of the reasons why, besides getting a breather, teams do that is to get the personal grouping on defense that they want on the field, not allowing them to do that would remedy,
But I literally never thought of this as a problem that needed to be addressed until everybody said it needed to be addressed after the Giants game. Like, I think we overreact to these things that we have to change immediately.
No, I know.
Rather than just saying, Well, it wasn't really a problem for the last 45 years, so right. Why is it a problem now?
But if the league thinks that a lot of teams are going to continue to do hurry up and the huddle, like the fullback, is going to go out of style, then you do have to address it, you know? Huddles could – could you see 3 years from now less team – you know, the minority of teams actually huddling up?
And that's fine. This is not going to change anything with the offense and the huddling. This is how the defense attacks that.
Yeah, I think in defensive of
if anything,
Goodell,
if you take this away, more teams are going to go no huddle if you're worried about no huddling, right?
Right.
If you take away what the defense perceives as a weapon against the no huddle, there's going to be more no huddle.
Right.
Correct?
Right.
So are you trying to get rid of the no
huddle
or the
injuries? We're trying to get rid of teams faking injuries.
Of course, because everything is about the offense and scoring points.
Oh,
so continue to enjoy games that are 35-30 and there's lack of defense.
Yeah, see, I just feel
faking injuries is
part of the game.
No,
oh, yes, it is.
It is part of the game, but it's you don't want to like make it
obvious,
right?
See,
exactly,
and that's what I'm. So do it like Willie McGinnis did. Do it like Sean Phillips did. Don't do it like the idiots on the Giants.
Well, no,
did.
But if what I'm saying is, and you have to agree if you want to be reasonable, if most teams started no huddling, if the weapon against that is faking injuries, you're going to see more fake injuries. That's not good for the game.
Yeah, I just don't care that much.
I personally don't think no huddle's any good either. But
really,
no, I think it's boring. You can't stop anybody. You can't put the people out there to match up and stop it. All you're doing is tricking the other team. To me, that's not any fun to watch, but that's the way everybody does it now.
What do you mean tricking?
College football is even worse.
Wait. Oh, yeah. What do you mean tricking the other team?
You're not trying to beat them. You're just trying to trick them out of matchups. You're trying to get the wrong personnel on the field so you can exploit it. That's all you're doing. You're hurrying it up.
Yeah, you're trying to.
Hurrying it up while the other team's not ready. That's all it's all about.
Right.
It's deception.
It's just like I don't really care for the Brady hurry up and run
up. And everybody does it. I'm not making fun of any one team here. Every single team does it.
But you can also, all the good teams anyway. That saying, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. If you don't execute right, the hurry up can kill you.
Oh, no. Well, that's why Brady's great.
Right. Not every team can do that well.
I knew he would somehow take this into some kind of a negative thing. Not every team can have the success the Patriots had because they don't have Brady at the controls.
Right.
They don't have Manning at the controls. Right.
In fact, I'd say probably 60% will be punting after three plays and having some of the shortest times of possession in games you've ever seen.
But I don't find it overly exciting to watch a 5-yard penalty because the other team had 12 men on the field.
Right.
So they get a free play. That happens three times a game when Indy's involved, when Green Bay's involved, when New Orleans is involved, when the Patriots are involved. That's not exciting to me.
Oh, I think
that the other team can't get lined up and Cincinnati won a game this year because they snapped the ball when Cleveland was still in the defensive huddle.
I think that
great. That's great.
I think that urgency adds to the excitement.
I don't.
Oh my goodness!
I think the excitement is Andre Johnson lined up against Darrell Revis, and one of them
on the opposite end of the spectrum.
I want to see competition.
On the opposite end of the spectrum,
more coaches decide games, the less entertaining.
Opposite end of the spectrum, I'm watching that Red Sox game last night, and what's his name begins with the A is on the mound. I literally counted 40-second average between pitches.
Alfredo Acevedo.
Right. That
First
was ridiculous.
All, why are you comparing that? No one's talking about baseball.
No, but I'm saying it's the opposite end of the spectrum. Would you rather watch that or
I'd rather watch Pedro Martinez versus Mark McGwire and him throw a fastball and McGwire either hits it or doesn't.
Exactly.
I don't want Terry Francona tinkering with something so that he can sway the edge to Martinez.
Yeah,
I like physical battles. I've been consistent with that.
That's why everybody should
be on steroids.
They didn't go out and play nine
I want
on
the
six.
Best physical battle I can see.
Alfredo Acevedo, slowing the game down didn't mean that one team had nine guys and the other team only had six prepared.
No.
That's what ends up happening in football right now is you hurry up to try to get them so they're not ready. No one's on that guy in the slot. Quick, snap the ball.
Not necessarily
Deion Branch,
not ready.
15
it's just so
that's,
they can't
that's
get
what
the
it's
right
all about.
Personnel on the field.
But it's not just about personnel. It's about not being prepared, or the guy who's out there shouldn't be out there. It's all about deception.
I think it's forcing the issue. I like it.
See, I'd much rather go back to the 80s where Bill had the same 11 guys on the field calling the same defense. And
absolutely.
Who was better?
Who's the better player?
If you have the right type of
team,
if you have the right type of defense, you don't have to worry about
don't
the
tell me,
offense.
And don't tell me that wasn't a better brand of football. I'm sorry.
That's football to me. Man versus man. Physical battles. Not which coach has the better chess match.
Football is what it is.
Right.
You know,
and they're trying
and
to
today,
legislate
is
it
a passive
so that
game.
The offense
I'm
has every damn advantage in the
ball.
Every advantage goes to the offense. Every single one. I don't care for that.
I don't even care about the rules. I'm not suggesting they don't pass the ball. Obviously, it's a passing league. That's fine. I personally don't care. The Buffalo Bills of the early 90s, I hated them. I hated watching them. It was all about hurry up so the other team can't be ready and we can get Andre Reed all by himself. Andre Reed wasn't anything special as a player. He's a borderline Hall of Famer now because he played in some gimmick offense that defenses weren't prepared to stop.
But even that, he didn't put up huge numbers, which came into play for me when I did Stevie Johnson's must stop, and he became the fourth player in Bills history, joining just Andre Reed, who did it once with 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in a season. Once? Isn't the guy in the Hall of Fame? Is he in the Hall of Fame?
He's a borderline Hall of Famer. He's not in the Hall.
Oh, so he's not in the
Hall.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to get
I'm sorry.
I mean, Chris Carter's still not.
One season with 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns, and you think you're a Hall of Famer? 1 year? No, you're not. You played in an up-tempo offense, so don't give me you played for the Steelers or this and that, and you couldn't do it.
Well, that should be a factor when considering someone for the Hall of Famers. What type of offense was he in, and, you know, those numbers.
Well, and those kinds of things do factor into Hall of Fame arguments. But
that's why it's a discussion.
My point is, I didn't find, I mean, that's, you're saying it's a different game. I mean, I'm going back 20 years. I didn't find that exciting either. I didn't
find
that.
If you were a Bills fan, you certainly did.
And just like if you're a fan of the teams that are successful, if you're a Colts fan with Manning, if you're a Patriots fan with Brady, if you're, but it's not exciting to me. It's not exciting football to watch as a, if it's Pittsburgh against Green Bay, I didn't find that Super Bowl overly exciting last year.
Really?
No, not at all.
Oh, man. Jeez, Paul, you are a real curmudgeon.
I don't know what I don't know what's curmudgeon about the fact
you
that...
You are a crusty, old curmudgeon.
I don't know what's so curmudgeonly about, you know, actually liking defense. I don't know why that makes me a curmudgeon. I'm not alone in this. This is not a like a unique perspective that I'm offering.
I think if a team can
a lot
do
of
it,
teams
do
don't
it.
Like the...
Do it.
I'm not... See, why do you take this to some place
and
that
I
I'm not taking
And I give them credit
it?
For doing it.
I don't care what you want to give them. I'm telling you, it's not very exciting to watch.
I didn't think we'd get into a
that's all I'm saying.
An argument about
that's why
up.
This show is great.
But you, as you usually do, you're making it a whole other blanket statements about whether or not they should be allowed to do it, whether or not it, you know you want them to. What, I'm just telling you, from watching the game, when you watch two good teams play now, like Green Bay and New Orleans on opening night, you didn't have any part of you that was saying, this is kind of boring. Neither defense has a sniff of a shot to stop the other team here. You don't think there was any element of boredom in that game?
I don't think
you like 38-30 games every week?
Not every week.
That's what every game
every
is.
Week.
Oh, yes, it does. They're on historic highs for scoring.
Yeah, but I mean...
No week ever had the amount of passing yards that week one had in the history of football.
I think that'll level out over the course of the season.
I don't.
You know?
I don't. I think you're going to see this kind of arena
And you think
arena
this is
ball.
All because of the hurry-up?
It's a yes. It's that's a big part of it. It's arena ball.
Wow.
Who? I mean, how
I
many?
I mean, it's
give me,
it's,
give me,
it's less the hurry-up than the new rules.
I don't. What new rules?
You know, the enforcement of the pass interference and you can't touch and you can't hit. That's more about than the hurry-up.
The hitting thing is new. Everything else is 1978.
But not being new. Able to hit the quarterback, not being able to do
and
this.
And that's not really new either. That's
but
been in
Paul,
for the last 5 or 6 years.
You're being argumentative. You know.
I'm not being argumentative, Fred.
Yes, you are.
I'm simply giving you my opinion that I don't think that opening night game between Green Bay and New Orleans was overly exciting.
But all those.
It was an exciting finish because it came down to the last
all
play.
All those things have more to do with high scoring and not being able to touch the receiver than hurry up offense.
Okay.
You know,
you're
hurry
right.
up, hurry
you're
up.
Right. I didn't see Andy Dalton throw a touchdown pass to E.J. Green when nobody in Cleveland was on the field.
Okay.
That had nothing to do with the hurry up. That to me is boring.
Hurry
Fred.
Up offense unless you execute.
5-yard penalties for 12 men on the field are not exciting.
All right. And
they are to you.
And hurry up offense can hurt a team that doesn't do it well just as much as it can help it because your offense is off the field and your defense is back on too quick.
Yeah, and tell me the defense that ends up on the field too quick. Well, tell me the offense that's had problems moving
so
the ball.
So every team does the hurry up like the Patriots do.
I didn't say like the Patriots
well,
do.
That's
no,
what you
Tom
need
Brady
to be
is the MVP.
Yeah.
No one does it like
you
the Patriots
do. You have to be
do.
Drew Brees or Aaron Rodgers in order to
or
have
Philip
continued
Rivers
success.
Or Ben Roethlisberger or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Who scored more points than the Patriots, by the way.
You know,
even Jags like Ryan Fitzpatrick
and
are lighting up scoreboards.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick's using the hurry-up.
They can use anything they want. They used it on Sunday, I'll tell you that.
The
last two drives, they went bing, 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 bing.
They were behind and they had to catch up, you idiot!
And they caught Oakland with the wrong personnel on the field.
That's what you do.
They played for 55 minutes, man-on-man, and they were inferior.
So,
but when they got to trick him at the end... They succeeded.
They tricked him. They tricked him by going hurry up.
Who covered the
Paul,
guy?
Is this
in the
any different than the prevent defense?
Oh
my god! 20 years ago?
Are you calling this the prevent defense?
No,
that's what teams
I'm not.
Are
but you were probably complaining about that then. When
First
teams
all,
are behind, they have to go hurry up, and that's what the Bills did. So don't compare that to what the Patriots did the entire
Why
game.
Are you making this about the Patriots? No, no one's talking about the Patriots,
because,
Fred, except for you.
Because one is an example of a team doing it throughout the game,
and one
is an example
Stop.
One is an example of a team doing it when they needed
all
to
of the national
up.
Guys
that
are talking about this trend in football are all wrong,
all right.
You're right.
All right.
Everybody loves the hurry up. You're right.
Right. Okay,
no
Paul.
One can have an opinion except for Fred.
No, but when I have one, it's immediately wrong because curmudgeon Paul
I didn't
has
say
to
you were
argue
wrong.
With
And why do you
got to
call
thing?
Anybody names? Why do you got
to
do that?
Because I want to.
We're talking
to.
About football, and you got to bring it into some name calling.
You're
thing.
A curmudgeon.
Whatever. You can call me whatever you want. Okay,
all I know is
nobody on Oakland covered the guy who caught the touchdown pass.
Well, whose fault is that?
That was because they were in the prevent defense or because they weren't ready.
Whose fault is that?
It's not anyone's fault. I just don't find it very exciting.
So Oakland couldn't keep up, so we shouldn't run the hurry up.
Again, Andy, how many different times? I'm not suggesting they change the rules. There's nothing wrong with the rules. Hurry up is allowed. I just don't think it's overly exciting. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
No one's suggesting that the league should mandate this out of the game.
Jeez, so that Bills game wasn't
exciting.
Why do
you take... It was very exciting for the Bills.
Okay. Can I
not too exciting
second?
For anybody trying to play defense.
Are you out of your mind, Paul?
Why
that
am I out?
That
See,
game was
again,
exciting,
Again,
period.
We have to get to name-calling.
The game was exciting, period. How can you not say that game was exciting?
I don't know. You said they didn't do any no-huddle. So maybe you didn't think it was exciting because they didn't do your no-huddle offense.
Oh, my God.
That's how ridiculous you sound.
Okay. All right. So
all I'm suggesting, Fred, is that you can't play defense anymore in this league, and they're making it harder and harder, and this whole thing with the communication for the quarterbacks is making it impossible. They don't have to do they have all these personnel groups. I don't find it overly exciting to me. I'm sorry that you disagree with that. I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm not asking the NFL to mandate it out of the game like you keep saying that I'm trying to do. I didn't think that Green Bay and New Orleans was an overly intriguing game when nobody even came close to stopping the other team the whole game. That, to me, is not overly exciting. That's the best of what the NFL has to offer now. It's arena ball.
You know,
every game is going to be into the 30s.
You know,
every game.
I would agree that defense is on a decline, but it's got less to do with tricking other teams
than bad tackling.
And not being able to hit a quarterback.
Yeah, that's
and not
why
being
I know they're breaking all
their
thumbs because of the way they're tackling.
All right, Paul, now you're going to be ridiculous.
Well,
that's a joke.
You want to take it to the theater of the absurd, so I'm going to do the same thing.
You know that's a joke, Paul. But you wouldn't agree that bad tackling – you know, not being able to hit guys anymore has a lot to do with the decline in defense?
Let me ask you this. Do you think
would you agree with that?
I'm getting to you. Bad tackling you brought up.
Yeah.
I want to get on that.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a lot of bad tackles where guys just run over players or guys are reaching, grasping out of position?
Well, both.
I think it's more out of position, guys, and the guys aren't prepared to tackle. Oh. They're not there. Well, I think that's where you see broken tackles. They're arm tackles because they're reaching. They're not there. They're not in proper position to make a tackle.
And that's because of the hurry-up?
I think it's part of it. For whatever reason
So when we see Brandon Merriweather miss tackles left and right, it's because the other team's in the hurry-up?
I didn't say every single time, Fred. I didn't say, this is what I'm talking about. You make everything a blanket statement.
Well, you just did too.
I said, do you think it's part of that? I asked you if you thought it was part of bad tackling.
All right. Well,
and I don't understand why I get attacked by you because I don't think the no huddle is exciting. That's the only statement I made at the very beginning. Andy, as he normally does during arguments, started off agreeing with me and then decided I don't want to argue.
All I can tell you is
so
if
I
your
just
brother wasn't
two people
I'd
yelling
still be
at
on
each other.
Because it always degenerates into. I'm a curmudgeon, and I'm negative, and I'm a jerk.
Well, I don't
and
like
I'm
to
an a-hole.
The argument. So when the argument changes, I bow out.
Yeah. That's exactly my
point. Argument was very simple.
I did not call you a jerk.
Oh, you absolutely did.
And I also bowed out because you two cut me out, so I just stopped talking.
No,
you were yelling at each
but
other.
you just hit the nail that got
me upset. No, I didn't hit the nail because no one let me say what the nail was.
No, you just 2 seconds ago, you just said,
no,
I always...
I didn't finish my sentence because both of you started talking.
You just said I always bow out when the subject changes. And that's exactly what got me upset.
There's a comma there, and I wanted to continue.
All right, go ahead, Andy.
Do you have anything to say before we move on to the email?
Now, argument started about legislating what the defense feels is a weapon to stop the no huddle out of the game.
therefore increasing the advantage for the offense.
Right.
And you two went off on your whole no-huddle argument, but the issue right now is defense-related, not offense-related. They are potentially, via this memo, legislating what has been an allowed and overlooked weapon against the no-huddle and hurry-up to continue for decades. And yet, for some reason, this week, because the Giants did it like a-holes, the commissioner has to step in and send
right.
a memo,
right.
which threatens, dare I say, Spygate-like penalties, right? Draft picks and fine. We're going to take a draft pick away
because
a guy fell down on the field?
I think the memo said anything and nothing could happen. I think
right.
they didn't want to rule out anything.
They insinuated that you could have major, major penalties levied against your franchise. Not a player, not
right.
a coach, but an entire franchise.
Right.
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's utterly reactionary. When was it a problem other than this week?
No.
When
and,
did we have
no,
this whole discussion
I
other than this week?
You, and I agree with you. And then I think what made this into an argument was me saying that
Paul's an idiot and a curmudgeon.
If
thank you.
You know, if more
which
teams,
I particularly enjoyed.
You know, if more teams started doing this, and let's say the huddle became something like the fullback, then
well, why didn't we do anything to save the fullback? I like the fullback.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, what I'm saying is, let the free market economy here police itself. Let Jags like Andy Dalton and whoever else is Tavares Jackson go no huddle. I'd be happy if I'm a defense yeah. to have him rushing around the field making decisions because you know what's going to happen? I'm going to kick his ass because he's not Tom Brady.
But I'd rather see teams allowed to do no huddle than teams faking
this
injuries.
Is not changing the no huddle. It's changing the defense.
The legislation here is on the defense. But if
the defense gets hosed on everything, and they're getting hosed again. Andre Carter put a hit on a quarterback that in any game other than the 2010-2011 NFL
right.
was a beautiful
and I think
highlight reel
that,
play.
That hurts the defense more than telling them not to be able to fake injuries.
You know the famous photo here of Willie McGinnis hitting Dan Marino? Not a good play.
Right.
Throw the flag.
His face was right in his chest. Right.
That's where we're going.
Absolutely.
What can the defense do? The guy could find $15,000 because he lunged into Tom Brady's knee, which by the rules should have been a penalty. They didn't call it, so they fined him instead, and in my opinion, a makeup call. Right. What can the defense do? What can they do, Fred?
Okay.
No. Seriously, answer the question.
No,
what can they do? They can't do anything.
No, I agree with that. That's what I said.
So you're ruining the game because of fantasy football, offensive players, and numbers.
I think all those rules are and things that are happening hurt defenses more than telling them you can't fake injuries.
And by the way, the biggest initiative the NFL has undertaken over the last 2 years is player safety, whether it was in the CBA or whether it was in all the crap last year with the Merriweather hit and everything. Now you're going to tell a player whether he's faking or not?
Well, but I'll make the point back to you is, you know, the whole, you know, crying wolf thing. When a guy goes down, we are to assume that he is really injured
exactly.
and to take that seriously.
And as much as we think it's asinine,
but if guys,
we can't prove they weren't hurt.
I know, but if guys start faking it like those Giants did because no one said anything about it, then that takes away from the guy.
We don't know 100% that they faked it. Do we? Because maybe you know something I don't know. Maybe it's proven.
Did you see the video?
I did see the video.
Okay. Right.
My assumption is they faked it.
Right.
I also think that Albert Haynesworth looked like he was faking it.
Okay.
He celebrated, talked with Andre Carter, and then halfway between the sideline and the huddle, fell down to the field.
It looked
like he was faking.
If the Giants were allowed.
Correct, Paul? Did I not see that?
You said it live.
All right. If the Giants.
I think he was hurt,
okay,
but it looked like he was faking. I can't assess that.
All right. But if the Giants were allowed to do that as blatantly as they were and no one said anything, then every team's going to say, well, you know, screw it.
No, I don't think every team wants to be a laughingstock.
Well,
I don't think every defense wants to look like they're holding their junk. They want to play defense, and they want to do it like Willie McGinnis did and use it within the confines of 45 years of NFL action.
Yeah. But
and I also think injuries are tough to see. You don't know whether a guy has a cramp. You don't know whether a guy has a stinger.
Absolutely.
You don't know whether anything happens.
But what happened at that Giants game was blatant.
You have to admit that. No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
I thought it looked terrible, but I thought Albert Haynesworth, who I'm assuming was actually hurt because he then was attended to by trainers and stretched a little on the sideline, looked like he faked an injury.
He did a good job if he was faking it, yes.
How did he do a good job? It was blatantly looked fake.
No, he started walking. He waved
the trainers
guy in,
did a good job.
He waved the guys on.
But
he got to one
I don't.
Knee,
I think it's
and
a dangerous
he might have been
game.
Faking it.
I think it's a dangerous game to assess whether guys are faking or not.
And that's why faking isn't.
Which
good
is my point,
for
though.
The guys that are
this
really
was
injured.
The first one ever where everybody in the world agreed they were faking. Correct. First one ever. I've never seen.
No, McGinnis. Everyone agreed.
But not really. because it wasn't that blatant. There wasn't that unanimity that it was faking. You could say he may be hurt. I think he, in the, given the situation, he probably was faking
absolutely.
It. But I can't say 100%. Everybody in the world is willing to say the Giants faked it. You are 100%.
Yes.
Put your house on the line. They faked it.
Yes.
I probably would too.
Two
if
guys
you made me
went
say
down
yes
like
or
they
no.
got shot.
Yes. No
yeah.
question.
Right.
And a couple others looked like they were preparing until they saw that the other two went down
right.
and said, "Oh, I don't want to do it then."
Right.
But this is the worst and single case ever. And yet the league made it out like it's this, what's that movie? Contagion. That it's just spreading like a virus.
No, but sometimes you got to, you know, make sure the, you know, once the horse is out of the barn, it's too late. If they see the trend, again, I don't want to restart this, but if they see the trend toward no huddle and quick offenses.
The offense being hindered in any way,
listen,
we got to make sure that they can score 400 fantasy points.
Listen.
Right?
Are you just going to listen?
No, I learned from you two fighting before that you don't listen when you argue on the show.
If you just both keep talking over each other.
I've listened.
If they see the trend toward no huddle becoming, they do want to nip this in the bud to teams doing what the Giants did. And so they felt
they had it. What's wrong with free market? What's wrong with waiting a year and letting it play itself out and seeing how the league polices itself?
Okay.
How it just plays out,
okay.
Right?
Well, if they went through a whole season of teams doing what the Giants, would you feel then that they should say something?
Yes. If it becomes blatant other than just one single team.
All right, that's fair.
But why didn't we make this big declaration? One guy tripped a guy on the sideline. You know, things happen that are one-offs. They just happen once. I don't want to take a shot at you here, but isn't this almost a political thing where the Republicans believe you just let stuff take care of itself, right? Whereas Democrats feel like you got to do all this stuff that's what this feels like. Oh, I got to react to this. God, I got to do something. How about we just let it police itself? Let it play out.
Yeah, this first started and we started talking about the injury stuff and Freddie brought up, and then Andy said the whole rant about Goodell overreacting, I think that I'm with Freddie on this part of it. I don't necessarily think it's an overreaction by Goodell. I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to lay the law down that teams don't do what the Giants did. And they're trying to discourage the blatant nature. Like, listen, we understand it's a part of your arsenal, and you're going to do it because of exactly what Andy says. You can't tell. Nine times out of ten, you can't tell. Probably more than nine times out of ten. But we want to make sure that you're not blatantly thrown it in our face like the way the Giants
did. Right, you're hurting the integrity
on
of
Monday
the game
night.
When you do that, I think.
Yeah, now, where we branched off into the argument that Fred and I did is I don't find a whole lot of integrity in a lot of the things that teams are trying to accomplish with the no huddle. I don't find that to have a lot of integrity. That's where we branched off into the whole separate argument. But I'm not saying that they should take the no. You keep saying that I want to legislate the no huddle out of the game. I don't. Whatever way the offense chooses to run the football and move the football is up to the offense. And it's up to the defenses to try to stop them. I just don't find it overly exciting when key plays during courses of games come when the other team's not prepared and you just trick them. And that happens a lot. A lot. That's the only point I was trying to make.
Everybody wants to get in here. So that's good. I guess, you know, when you do that and people want to chime in, you're doing a good job. So let's start off with Orlando in Springfield on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Orlando. Orlando. Okay.
Hello.
Hey, there you are. Hey, what's up?
Hello.
Hi,
hello?
Orlando. Are you there? Okay. We're going to drop Orlando if he wants to.
Kevin's scratching his head in
if
there.
If he wants to call back in, we'd welcome his call. Sorry about that. Let's see. Jordan's, let's see, who is this right here?
Jordan Sparks, is that what you're going to say?
Jordan says, if you get injured with less than 2 or 3 minutes in the game, they should make it so you can't re-enter. I've heard that before. Andy doesn't like that. He just rolled his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. KB, you guys done now? Done with the show? You're just going to...
Are we done?
No, I'm listening for your emails.
Okay. We yelled for a half hour. I thought maybe we would get into emails and calls.
That just shows you. I'm a curmudgeon when I yell. If I let him read emails, I'm quitting.
Brian says, tell Paul it's part of the game. Why can't teams take advantage of the rules?
Again, I knew that Fred would slant this.
I didn't say that.
You said that I think that they should take it out. I don't think that.
Did I ever say that?
Yes, several times.
Andy, because you were listening the whole time. Did I say that Paul thought that they should take it out of the game?
I don't know.
I argued that you didn't think it was exciting, and I think it is exciting.
No, you said that why shouldn't offenses be able to do that? And I said they should. I just don't find it overly exciting. That's the only point that I try to make, and you yelled at me. Because, God forbid, we express opinions on this show.
Orlando's back on. Hey, Orlando. Orlando.
Hello, guys.
Hey, can you hear us now?
I can't hear you over the phone. I got to hear you through the speaker here. It's weird, man. I don't know what's going on over there.
Okay, you just talk, and then we'll answer.
Okay, now I can hear you, Fred.
Okay, good.
All right, Fred, listen. I want you and Paul to do me a favor real quick. I want you to step away from the mics, put your headphones down, and I want you to kill each other. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be that. Just kill each other. I just want to see it. And Andy, you just let me know, you know, just grab the whole thing.
That would be good radio if you two did throw down the headsets and just start punching.
Yup, y'all two are like insane, man. God.
Yeah,
how do you guys work together, like arguing like that? I don't know how
because we have an amazing ability to just move on.
Because it's sports.
It's fun.
It doesn't matter.
Believe it or not, people are always really surprised to find out. But I think I'll speak for Fred here. It's fun.
It is. It keeps me on my toes.
It's fun to have disagreements. I mean, it's no fun to me if you just walk around with people that just nod and say, yeah, you're right. You're right. I agree with you. You're right. To me, it's fun to have disagreements about sports. It's not real life. Man.
If you do that, it's Felger and Mass.
It's not real life.
We don't want that. Hey, listen, guys. Want to know, you know, what about this whole Dan? I'm like heartbroken over the whole Dan Copeland situation, man. Personally for me, I think the guy, he's out of all the offensive linemen we got, he's been the most, like, rock solid, the most steady. He's never been spectacular, but he's always been consistent. I mean, do you think that, you know, by putting Connolly there, you know, the rest of the year, you know, we're going to be okay? Or do you see them making another move to get, you know, a free agent? Or you know, what do you see them doing?
You know,
I think they're okay with Connolly.
This goes back to my story I tell when I used to watch football when I was a little kid with my father and it was all Giants. And I just remember, like, linemen would get hurt and they'd go off. And as a little kid, you really don't know who the guys were. And I'd be thinking, oh, I wonder if now they'll be all right. And you never seem to notice it. And I'm not saying that that's the case. You know,
I'll say it for you.
I don't want to put down Dan Copeland, but these offensive line injuries, you know, unless they're to your star left tackle and you're playing, a speed rusher or something like that, normally teams are able to adapt and get over them.
I'm not so sure that's accurate. I literally, I watch games and the center goes down and it's like, all of a sudden, the next three snaps are either bobbled or there's a shotgun snap. And
oh, I've seen that. But more often than not, the guy goes out and you don't even notice. But, you know.
I don't know. Here they seem to have that ability.
And I'm sure if Dante Scarnecchia was here, he'd beat me up over that. Because,
well,
no,
I think Dan Conley has done that. I think they've done a good job with that. But I think you have to give sometimes the guys credit. I mean, they've had these career backups here that have done a pretty good job, I think.
Right.
The Russ Hochsteins or whatever. Now it's Dan Conley. But I think they are happy with Dan Conley. I think they're comfortable with Dan Conley being their starting center. And I would agree, Copen was steady, but I don't think he was great. I just think he was a guy in there. I mean, I think he, on occasion, got absolutely owned in various games by Chris Jenkins, or he would get a matchup that didn't suit him, and he'd get killed. My guess is you're going to see the same from Conley. You'll forget about him for a month, or like we did last year for most of the season. And then you get to a matchup with a guy like Sean Ellis that just absolutely has his way with him. That'll come at some point this year.
And let me just, Orlando, before you chime back in, this week could be one of those weeks where you notice it because Kyle Williams and Marcel Darius are pretty solid players. I don't know a ton about Darius yet as a pro because obviously it's only been two games, but these guys I think will be able to be disruptive inside. So this might be a week where you notice a little bit of what Andy's talking about. I'm more on Fred's side in terms of the overall. I think that linemen, for the most part, serve to be interchangeable, with the exception of the stars. You know, you have the marquee left tackle that you talk about. Obviously, you don't have a guy with that kind of athleticism and skill set. But for the most part.
So you think the league's dumb now the way they've gone with, I mean, they pay guards left or right $55 million. And they, I mean,
I think you can have a star. Like, I think Logan Mankins is not just an interchangeable part. I think he's a standout guard.
But
I do, too.
There's only a few guards like that.
Yeah. I don't think there are a lot of guys like that.
But that's my point.
I think a lot of the guys that got paid like that are interchangeable parts.
You think Copen is an interchangeable
part?
I'll
give you an example of why, you know, maybe I think the way I do, and maybe I'm wrong. I think that physically, you couldn't have a worse offensive line last year than the Pittsburgh Steelers had. And it affected them so much that they lost by a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You know, I just feel like you can plug guys in and scheme around, and I think Dante's very good at it. He's worked with different guys. I'm not diminishing, you know, one's ability over another and completely eliminating. I guess I am diminishing it. I'm not eliminating it. I'm not eliminating the fact that Logan Mankins is a lot better player than Dan Conley. But really, how much different were the Patriots last year in the first eight games from the last eight games?
But that's my point. Then it's bad business to pay $55 million to Logan Mankins.
Well, it might be. Yeah. Except that he is one of the best. And
yeah, but he's been owned on days. He had a terrible Super Bowl, right?
He has, yeah.
And as Paul said, was there a huge difference last year when he was there and he wasn't there? Yeah. No. First game was there, they got killed, right?
So, it's a good discussion. And it's hard to have it without insulting offensive linemen, but...
And without having broken down the coach's tape every single week and seeing exactly what... There's no doubt in my mind... That I would name, if you asked me to name the top 20 offensive linemen, at least five of the guys I would name, Dante Scarnecchia would say, that man is a load of poo. He stinks. I've broken down the tape. He's horrible.
You know, and we would only be giving you the names that we've heard other people say.
Right. And at the same time, you know, those defensive lines of the Broncos back when they were running the ball, you know, with that get out of your stance, get down the field, let the running back choose his lane, you know, that style of running that they did. I'm sure not all offensive linemen could plug and play in that style because you kind of have to be a little bit more athletic than the offensive line of the Cowboys when they were winning Super Bowls.
But that gets back to Alex Gibbs, who you're referencing, or Dante Scarnecchia. I think those guys, whether they are taking irrelevant guys and making them relevant or find the right guys somehow, whatever, I think that's the biggest key, and I think that's why we've been so conditioned to think Dan Conley will be fine because generally Dante takes some guy, he turns him into a pretty good player, said guy leaves, he's not that good wherever he goes, whether his name's Tom Ashworth or Russ Hochstein or, I mean, those guys just, they fade off into oblivion. They're out of football in 2 years after leaving here when they were starting for one of the best teams in football.
Yeah, I agree with your point, Fred, about not all guys could step into that system, both of those systems, but I do think that they have guys that those teams had guys that easily could step in because you build your offensive line in Denver to have smaller, athletic, mobile linemen. In Dallas, you had these big 350-pound behemoths.
Right.
And that's what you know, the backups, that's what they were.
Yep. All right. I can't take a break because Kevin just stepped in here.
Kevin's standing right next to you.
With his ESPN Boston
I don't have one of those.
Swag on.
Scott writes in, he says, to Mr. Irrelevant, Mr. Irrational, Mr. Coherent, and Mr. Incapable, my answer to the hurry-up offense would be the hurry-up defense.
Who are those?
Once a defense is lined up at the line of scrimmage, the offense has 5 seconds to get a playoff. Once the defense lines up, they cannot change positions. The games would move at a lightning pace, and when your team is behind late in a game, the defense would be cranking to get back to the line of scrimmage to make the offense get 4 plays off in less than a minute. Albert Haynesworth could collapse on the field, but without injury timeouts, they would just play on shorthanded. Maybe we could serve coffee on the sidelines. Gatorade would be replaced by Jolt Cola. Instead of do your job, the new motto would be move or get out of the way. Okay. So once the defense lines up, the offense has to run a play in five seconds. That's tough.
So now we have hurry-up defense.
Yeah, that's exactly
so
what
now we
said.
Have the quarterback faking an injury or something. Like.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't have any problem with the rules. I really don't.
I don't either.
I like when you know, like you said, the Calvin Johnson going, you know, on Darrell Revis. That I find that fascinating. That's what I find exciting. Who's going to win that battle? Who's going to win the one-on-one matchup? And football is really a series of one-on-one matchups. But I think too often it degenerates into, let's try to get this guy out of position. We can take advantage of this guy and deceive him. And that's how we win that matchup. That's the only part that I don't think we should legislate any of that out.
Neil in Montreal says, in the CFL, any player who goes down must come off the field for 3 plays. It works.
in your heated discussion, Fred called Paul an idiot. That seemed to be the point when the yelling really started. Name calling is wrong. I did. I'm sorry about that. But Paul was making snide remarks like he does, so that got me mad.
I'm not sure I did this time. Yeah, until after you started calling me names.
No, I got mad because you were being snide.
I got mad. I'm not going to lie. I was upset.
all right, let's take a break. Although, what's one more email about
Are there no
this.
Shut the hell ups in there? Did anybody email in?
Well, no.
Can we move on?
My guess is Fred is filtering those out.
No. I'm reading them all. KB from Atlanta says, that's what they're supposed to do, you idiot, says Fred. I love this show. Anyway, everyone's kind of dogging Ocho, but I think he's making progress. He made a couple nice catches against the Chargers. Do you see him being a lot more involved in this week if Hernandez is or maybe out?
Paul and strippers do not, but I do. I am betting somebody, I believe, five catches and a touchdown for a lunch this week.
That'd be a good day for him. All right, now let's take a break because I need to catch a breath, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Birds!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Birds!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Birds!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Oh, yeah.
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. We all know that Andy is the bully of PFW in Progress. He can dish it out, but can he take it?
I'm trying to read the email here. Guy's pulling an all-nighter so that he can email during the show, and Andy's disrespecting.
No, that's not my fault. It's
That's your fault.
You're the one who picks and chooses the emails.
That's your fault.
Shut up.
Typical Big Head. He's never wrong, and nothing's ever his fault.
You're the one who chooses the emails.
That's not my fault. It's not my fault that I'm not talking about. You're talking.
Don't have a heart attack.
Oh, my God.
Leave it to Fred to put Andy in his place.
When someone's talking, you have to shut up.
Now, back to PFW in Progress.
He's going to kill him.
Be nice if you followed your own rules.
All right, back here on PFW in Progress. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
You'd get kicked out of preschool. You tell people to shut up. You call them idiots.
And I actually need to apologize to you, Andy.
Why?
After listening to that, I was laughing in the background. I wasn't supporting you at all. So,
but that was funny.
I can't make fun of you for not supporting me.
And it was that high-pitch laugh we were talking about the other day.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. You really don't like it when Andy bows out of fights, do you?
No, I don't.
But there's never
any
space.
He wouldn't be good in a foxhole. You know, he would be
but there's no room for two people to be yelling at one.
But it didn't necessarily need to escalate into the screaming match that it did.
But it did.
No, I know, but you bowed out a long time before that.
No, I did not.
And that's part of what annoys me. Not because of you individually, but it's like when people, you know, and Orlando was great about it. He was making the joke about just kill each other and get it over with. But when people sort of look at people who get upset about insignificant things, and they're like, they give you like that Harvard look, like, I'm so above that. It really grates on me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I was arguing with Fred about a silly, stupid, no-huddle offense. In the grand scheme of things, zero value. Understood. Okay, but we were arguing about it. We felt strongly enough about it to argue about it for 10 minutes.
It also got to the point where you two were just arguing.
Well, yeah.
No, but like, then you started calling names, and it started to get like bigger picture.
I don't remember calling him a name.
He thought you were being snide and condescending or whatever,
right.
and you're a curmudgeon.
But my point is, when
it was
people,
like a married couple, the fight starts about a legitimate issue, discussion,
and then
it turns into all these
everything you hate about
the
other person.
These little issues, and you don't put the toilet seat down.
But when people like just look around, like, you know, we're on a talk show and like the arguing. I really don't have any.
Well, I don't
use.
Do that.
I don't really have any use for the arguing.
Well, I just bow out when you two start
shut
yelling.
Shut up!
I know. Go, I'm not even going to say it.
Why? You're allowed to swear.
Stripper says, real quick game. Police on Wednesday confiscated a package containing 2.5 pounds of marijuana shipped from California to the home of, do you guys know who it is?
Nate Newton.
Nope.
Charlie Sheen.
Give me a team.
Oh,
I don't know. It's an NFL player.
Cincinnati.
Yes.
Nice.
You got the team right.
Pac-Man?
Eric Benson.
Jerome Simpson. I was going to say
receiver?
Robert Parrish, but he doesn't play in there.
Is he a wide receiver out of a small coastal school?
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you like that?
How does that work? You ordered pounds of marijuana. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Now that's
Andy, can you hear me?
What?
You can hear me, right?
What are you doing,
yes.
Kevin?
Why are you
just
ruining the show?
Testing to make sure we don't have a problem again.
You're on a cell phone. What are you doing?
Making
First of all,
sure,
all right.
Making sure the phones work.
Kevin, what is going on in that booth? The
more like what is going on in that head.
On the screen in front of me that says where the phone calls, I keep getting that there's a phone call, but there's nobody called. There's no name on it.
It was Kevin. He was just calling.
No, Orlando had like an issue, so I just was trying to figure out what
I think
was wrong.
You
Can
had
we do
an
that
issue.
During the break?
Yeah, but then it's going to go out over the air on the break. Sorry, I just want to make sure our callers can get on the air. That's all.
All right.
I just care about the callers, Fred. I know you don't.
I don't know. I would assume other places have problems, but they don't work them out while the show's going
See,
on.
See, I would
the
assume
air.
They don't have problems because
Doug Lane wasn't available.
What?
Doug Lane wasn't available.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. We do have a couple lines open. Webradio@patriots.com. Is the email address. You like that, Andy, huh?
I do. Four to be exact, and yes, we have four lines total.
Billy writes in. He says, I noticed that Rob Ninkovich is playing opposite Mark Anderson on third downs. Why is Cunningham not in this spot? Do you guys believe Ninkovich is a better pass rush option than Cunningham? Also, when Guyton is healthy, does Spikes go back to being inactive?
No, I wouldn't think so. I think when Spikes is fully healthy and immersed in the offense, the defense, he should be out there. He should theoretically be one of your top 17 defenders or whatever that number is that Pepper likes to say we're going to roll through. I think he should be. And I think they play different roles. But
do you think Cunningham is a better option than Ninkovich?
No, but I don't think he's not. I think they're just guys. It's a debate I've been having with one of our friend's strippers. He has a friend who doesn't listen to us. He thinks, I'm an idiot. Why should he listen to any of my opinions? I never played in the NFL, and Scott Zolak played in the league. I should listen to him. And I said, well, fine. If you want to hear from somebody who's never in the locker room, never goes to games, never watches a practice,
and has no objectivity,
listen to Zolak. But went to a whole thing, and he said, I want stuff that's bombastic or something, like tell me that Dane Fletcher's going to be the second-best linebacker on the team. I said, I don't think that's bombastic. The problem with that statement is you have one good linebacker, and then you have a group of Jags who have yet to, any of them, emerge as the next best. And that would include whether you want to have him a linebacker. Cunningham is in that mix. He used to be a linebacker. Brandon Spikes has been an utter disappointment. Rob Ninkovich, in my opinion, is a guy.
I believe that was my first argument on All Access.
What?
That after Gerard Mayo, there's no one really proven.
No. There's a bunch of Jags.
Right.
They've proven the ability to compete at an NFL level.
You know what I mean.
Beyond Patrick Chung, we have safeties who have yet to compete at an NFL level. Although Josh Barrett is a very nice man who does his best on there, and I have high hopes for, because he watches our TV show.
Yes.
Okay. Chad writes in, and Chad...
And plus, just the Spikes and Guyton are totally different. Guyton is a rotational guy. Yes, he's your middle linebacker if those other two are hurt.
He's been forced into situations.
But he is a situational guy, passing downs. When there's two linebackers on the field, when they go to their sub look, it's him and Mayo. Spikes is a first and second down linebacker. Theoretically, he was supposed to be a good run player, and apparently they think can blitz because they used him a lot blitzing last week. I don't know if that was a game plan thing or if they think he has instincts on the pass rush maybe or whatever, but I think they're two separate guys.
I also, with Cunningham, now he's been hurt and he's missed a lot of time here, but I haven't seen really the pass rush thing that people are talking about. In terms of opportunities, I think Ninkovich, per opportunity, creates pressure more than Jermaine Cunningham did last year, for sure. I don't think he's asked to be a rusher all that often, Ninkovich.
Yeah.
But when he has, he generally shows up, like, the very first play of the season against Miami. I don't remember Cunningham doing that very often.
Well, I don't know that they've left him unblocked very often.
Well, I don't see why you would leave one guy unblocked on purpose any more than anybody else.
See, I took that play as a major negative. He was unblocked and couldn't get the Dan Klecko sack.
Well, the guy got rid of the ball and, unfortunately, found an open receiver.
It's not like he hit a guy on a quick slant. He hit a guy 25 yards down the field for an out.
Yeah, but he just threw the ball up, right?
I'm just saying. Generally, I think if you leave adequate pass rushers unblocked, they don't allow 20-yard completions.
But my point is, it wasn't like he sat there and waited for the guy to run 25 yards and then drilled him.
No.
He took like three steps and threw the ball up.
He also didn't necessarily have to rush.
I think that Ninkovich is what you said. I mean, I think he's just
very nice guy.
Serviceable guy. I mean, I don't think he's a standout in any way, but I think that we look at him in this negative light because he's a fifth or sixth year guy now.
Really?
No, I mean the fans.
Oh.
You know, he's nothing because he doesn't have the pedigree. Jermaine Cunningham came from Florida. He's a second round pick. Bill loved him. You know, we had that thing with Urban Meyer in the offseason about how Bill targeted this guy 2 years ago. And for some reason, he comes in with this, reputation that I haven't seen. And I'm not saying that he's a stiff, just like I'm not saying Ninkovich is a star. But to me,
well, the issue,
same.
And the issue here is I don't think he's a pass rusher, Cunningham. I think even if he ever lives up to his ability, he's a... if he's an outside linebacker, he's kind of your run outside linebacker. He's not a pass rush specialist. Defensive end, I think he's your left defensive end against the right side of a team that's right-handed that wants to run the ball. The pass rush is not a strength of his game,
in my
opinion.
And he never showed more than one move. And maybe he got away with that in college, but
he wasn't that good in college.
I don't think he was a great pass rusher in college. That's part of my point.
Dunlap was better.
Dunlap is better in the NFL.
He's a
bad guy.
Right.
But, and if that's why you didn't take him, hats off. I have no problem with that.
That doesn't mean you take the other guy.
No. No.
That's because you don't like the dink.
That's the problem. Like, I'm not advocating taking dinks. If you knew he was a dink and you think he's going to be a dink in the NFL and self-destruct, that's fine. I have
but
no problem with
that. We know
that
it's not the case because Urban Meyer said Bill fell in love with Jermaine Cunningham.
Right. That's what I have a problem with is the talent evaluation because I don't see it with Cunningham.
Chad is from Douglasville, Georgia, and he says, why is McCourty on trial? I'm loving the show, and I appreciate you taking the time to read my last email about Weapon X, which is Ocho Cinco, so I hope you can read this. Well, we are. I don't think I have to remind anyone who Brandon Marshall and Vincent Jackson are, but if you've forgotten, Marshall has 400 through week 17 of 2010. He had 413 receptions, over 5,000 receiving yards, and 28 touchdowns. Jackson had 212, over 3,600 receiving yards, and 28 touchdowns. Also, Marshall is 6'4, 230 pounds. Jackson 6'5, 238. That's a staggering 12 feet, 9 inch, 468 pound monster that McCourty was going against in the first 2 weeks. By the way, McCourty is 5'11, 193. I think holding that monster to two touchdowns is pretty good, even if he did allow some catches.
Now, there's my high cackly laugh.
I mean, what do people expect from McCourty? He can't intercept, deflect every pass that's thrown to him. He is not perfect. Let me know what you guys think about McCourty's criticisms and if it's fair to start judging his performance this early.
I think that's
the big Chadowski.
I think it's more than fair. I mean, along with the two touchdowns, he allowed somewhere in the range of 300 yards receiving, right? One guy had 130-something, one guy had 170-something.
136 and 172.
Well, no, Jackson, but the bulk of Jackson was him. I don't know if it was all 178 or whatever, but I would say 150 of it was.
And if you're going to take some away, then I also got to add in the 40-yard catch that Malcolm Floyd had down the sideline that was on him.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that's fair.
He has struggled.
He wasn't only covering Marshall and Jackson, but there were times he was covering other guys who caught the ball, too.
Sure.
That no one's counting. And what I don't think is fair is if people are saying, well, you know, maybe this guy just wasn't very good. Maybe he was a fluke. Now, it's way too early to make that kind of generalization. I think what is fair is to talk about his play in the first two games. I know that I think the big Chadowski was being a little bit sarcastic when he held them to two touchdowns. That ain't good.
I think he was being serious.
Okay, well, that ain't good.
The tone I heard was serious. Yeah. No, it was Fred's tone. But
right. It was my interpretation of the
He read
email.
It seriously, but I think what he's writing, I think he was kind of being a little bit hyperbolic. Maybe not. But
I get back to my other thing.
And
when's the last time someone told me that those two were the top five receivers in the league? They're good. They're number one receivers.
Brandon Marshall has had some monster games in the NFL.
Yeah, he's
How is that relevant?
I think Brandon Marshall, listen.
Is he Calvin Johnson? Is he Andre Johnson? Is he better than those guys? Is he Roddy White? Is he DeSean Jackson? Is he whoever, Reggie Wayne? I mean, there's a lot of receivers that I think would come ahead of those guys on the list.
I think if Brandon Marshall played with a top-flight quarterback, he'd be every
name Jay Cutler?
Every bit as good as those guys.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, all I can say is
Calvin Johnson doesn't play with a top-flight quarterback.
Well, he does now.
Maybe.
No, he does.
Maybe. And DeSean Jackson has played with three quarterbacks in the last year.
Let me just warn you. We're a healthy 16-game season away from me getting quite obnoxious.
About what?
Matthew Stafford.
Oh, so now you want to trade him for Brady again. He wants to trade him for Brady again.
I told you, we're a healthy 16-game season away.
That'll be the same season that Brady wins the second straight unanimous MVP, and you'll be saying you would have traded Stafford for Brady.
You know, much like Fred, I never said that Matthew Stafford is better than Tom Brady ever.
Well, then why would you trade him for him?
Age,
right? Well, that's fair. You know,
Brady shows no signs of slowing down. This was 3 years ago. He's
going
three MVP seasons since
3 years ago.
Oh, I think it was.
No, it wasn't. He's only in his third year, isn't he?
It was after his first.
Andy just snuffed cranberry juice.
I got it back in the bottle.
He just stuns me.
If not, it was coming all over you, Fred. That didn't sound right.
Mark tape.
I guess based on what a lot of the people that have been criticizing Andy and I for sort of being harsh on McCourty, I guess the moral of the story is Andy and I better just cross our fingers and hope that we don't play any good receivers in the playoffs. Because evidently it's okay if you give up a lot of plays to good receivers. And no one's saying that Brandon Marshall and Vincent Jackson aren't top-flight receivers. They are. And they're big. Hopefully we don't see any of those in the playoffs.
I think if we had, you know, and I'm sure when Bill Belichick is saying that McCourty has played as well as any of the other defensive players, he's taken in all the plays not just the ones where he was one-on-one.
And I also think it might be a little bit of an indictment on the defense.
But I also
in other words,
don't
blame him
for McCourty. But I think you guys would not be as critical of McCourty if he had won half of those battles.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
God, yes.
You know,
then I'd say, okay, he's still young. He has not played well. I just don't. At all.
And the way I look at
it. And even the one where it was, like I said, in the last game was incomplete downfield, he was out of position.
Yes.
You know, his body was not ready to make a play.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I also think that what Bill's talking about is what he always does. It's team. It's team defense. And maybe we wouldn't be looking at McCourty so negatively if on a couple of those big plays that he allowed, the rush got there the way maybe it was designed to. And we have no idea.
Right.
It's true.
You know, maybe he did exactly what he was supposed to do given the amount of time that he should have had to have done it on that play. You know, maybe there was, you know, some blown coverages where there was supposed to be help over the top on some of those plays. We don't know. And maybe that's what Bill's talking about.
That's true.
He's been as good, you know, as any player we've had on defense. That might be just as much an indictment on the other 10 guys.
So better chance that last year was his best season in the NFL or this or was an average season or was...
For McCourty?
Yeah.
I'll say at the end of the year it'll be up there, but I don't think it. I think he's better than what he's showing now.
I do too. I do too. I'm with Fred.
God,
on that.
I hope so because right now he's worse than Ellis Hobbs.
I don't think that we're going to look at last year as the best year of his career, but I think we're going to look at it as an above average year in his career.
Let's see. Oh, there he is. I saw John in L.A. was on the line, and then he was off. Now he's back. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good stuff.
Now he's not on.
Now he's back.
John,
and now he's
are
off.
You there?
I'm here now.
Hey, John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Kevin's having problems back there. I don't know what's going on.
Somehow I think Fred may be related to this as well.
How you been, John?
How you been?
I'm good. I've got a baby now.
Nice. Oh, congratulations.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
How's that going?
It's going great.
When?
We adopted the baby, and we did placement on September 1st. He was born on August 6th.
So he's
very exciting.
A month and a half old now?
Yep.
Yes.
Good
That's
math,
cool.
Andy.
Yes. I'm
better
sure
than his Matthew Stafford math.
So he's crying like a banshee?
He's not. He's a really mellow kid so far. We hope he stays that way.
Good luck with that. It'll change at some point.
His name is Theo, and he is not named after Theo Epstein. He's certainly
Huxtable?
Not named after Theo Epstein now.
Huxtable? Theo Huxtable?
He's not named after the Huxtables either.
Is he named after anyone?
Not really.
Okay.
We thought it was. We liked the name. We thought it was quirky, but not completely insane.
What's his middle name?
His middle name is Joseph.
Yeah, so it's TJ.
Oh yeah. Did you get? Was your goal TJ? Because that was Paul's, right? Your goal was TJ.
Yes, Thomas
that's
John.
Right. Well, it's an inadvertent goal. It's one that's perfectly fine with me.
Now, you think he'll go with TJ or he'll like Theo?
I don't know.
TJ,
we'll
it is.
All I know, the kid deserves a break. He's growing up in Staten Island as a Red Sox and Patriots fan. So
that's going to be tough.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
How do you know? Maybe he doesn't want to root for those teams.
Well, that's too bad. Does he want to eat?
Maybe he'll be like Fred and just wait to see who wins the championship every year
just
and
move
for
every year.
Yeah.
John, don't listen to them.
The reason I'm calling Football Life is the more I watch our drafting, the more I think that you guys should at least play some part in it, because I think of guys like Greg Jennings, who you love, and Randall Cobb, who, you know, the jury's out two games, whatever, but James Starks, we should just have you draft whoever you think the Packers will draft and have us draft them instead. I know I'm cherry-picking someone, and you don't get everything right, but nobody gets everything right. And it
Bill certainly
like,
doesn't.
In terms of offensive skill players, you guys have a better idea of what's going to work than they do.
I don't know if we have a better idea.
Except for tight ends.
But
you like the tight ends, too. You like Gronkowski.
Right. I truly believe
you like
if you allowed us to draft for a team, we would be competitive. I'm not saying we'd be better or blow anybody's doors off, but I think if you handed us 7 draft picks, we'd come away every year with a couple guys that could play.
And, you know, in terms of tight end, Andy was absolutely in love from first
sight.
All
right, we'll run with that.
With Gronkowski. I'll give you one. I mean,
another time.
But
what?
He couldn't hear us.
What is going on? There's, like, question marks on the screen, and I don't know what Kevin... anyway, I hear what John is saying, and I agree with you, Andy.
Not just us. I think a lot of people could do that.
Yeah, it takes it a little too far to say we could do a better job. But
oh, better no. But competitive with, we would fall somewhere in the middle of the 32 teams that we're drafting. We wouldn't be the best. We wouldn't be the worst. We would just be a team.
But I'll tell you what would happen.
Did the job.
I'll tell you what would happen to us. Maybe not as much. It definitely would happen to me. Maybe not as much to you, but. When guys that we liked end up getting taken, like before our spots, I think in a lot of cases we'd be like, oh man, I really like that guy. I bet you he's going to be a good player. Well, you know what? He ain't available. You got to find someone else, you know?
But I could.
First of all, you wouldn't even have been available to pick at 17 after Quinn went 14.
No, because Quinn would have gone 12 to me. I would have traded up in this little hypothetical.
If you couldn't put that trade out there, you know, if you couldn't put that trade
more likely, I'd be like Ditka. All right, I'm done. I'm going golfing, boys. We got Quinn.
But, you know, the other guy, you know, you talk about the tight ends, and you loved Gronkowski. I really liked Gresham, and Gresham's been solid, you know. And you don't think that Gresham could be like Aaron Hernandez here with Brady throwing in the football? I don't think he's the all-around tight end that Gronkowski is.
He's not.
In terms of blocking and everything, but I never billed him as that. I just loved his athleticism and ability to catch the ball. And he's shown that.
There is no doubt in my mind we could draft. No doubt.
I mean, there's a long list of guys this year. It was uncanny how many guys flashed in week one that we just – we kind of liked.
And I tell
just
you,
watched them on tape and we just kind
of
liked
where
them.
We would legitimately get hurt if we were thrown into the battle. I think one of the things you learn over the years working your way up as a scout and whatever is I would be thrown off by people being jerks or people being, and I think sometimes you have to draft jerks and you have to know, can I work with this jerk? Is he too immature? Is he too dumb? You learn that over the years. I think if we were thrown right into it, we would remove guys from our draft board after interviews and research. That you shouldn't.
Well, can you imagine how many guys Eric would eliminate?
I mean, because I could never do... You think of what Robert Kraft does. They take somebody like... I'm just going to throw the name out there. He's gone, so I think it's okay. Brandon Merriweather. Can you imagine your first meeting with him, and you know you're going to pay this guy $12 million over the next couple of years, and you... I would have a gut feeling...
I'd even make it worse.
I don't want to pay this guy that money, but I have to because that's the business we're in.
Dez Bryant.
Yes, Dez Bryant.
You know, you guys hated him. You hated the vibe that you got, and certainly the bad
vibes
have
been there. He's everything he was billed as. He's a great talent and a great jerk.
Right, and it's hard to. That's a hard pill to swallow.
Can you imagine if you're the owner, though?
That's a hard pill to swallow.
Jerry Jones probably doesn't bother him, but
no,
others, because, you know, he's Mr. Flash. He knows the game.
Because he's eating those Stevie Johnson money sandwiches. You know, I mean, you
what is that?
It?
No, I did, but I don't know what it means.
Money in sandwiches and they just eating it, like on YouTube and stuff? $100 bills, y'all?
Fresh money or used money?
I don't know.
Because does he know where that money could have been? Like, I'm picturing your bachelor party. I mean, seriously, don't they say money is, like, dirtier than you could lick your toilet seat and be more healthy?
Money's pretty dirty.
Yeah.
Dirty passes through money. A lot of hands.
And other orifices.
All right, easy.
I don't
not
know.
Every dollar.
What kind of parties are you going
not
to?
Not every dollar.
Paul's bachelor party.
But not every dollar has been there.
When his brother kept telling me, here's what you do. You undo your zipper and you put the dollar bill in there and make her go in and get it.
No, why do you make my brother sound like a Gavone? That's not how he talks.
I felt like it was necessary to kind of fluff up the story a little. Fluff up, good word for your bachelor party.
Pete writes in. He's in Hampshire, New England. England. I do this every time.
Yeah. Hey, Beth. How are you?
Pete in Hampshire, England. You guys see on Football Talk where Antonio Gray was fined $15,000 for the hit on Brady last week.
Rightly
yes.
so. Rightly
how can
so.
This happen
well, wait,
if,
wait,
if he
wait,
wasn't
wait.
Flagged?
Well, that happens all the time.
That happens all the time. But would he have been fined had he been flagged?
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Because it's still a violation of that.
You broke a rule, and in the book, the rule says if you break this rule, it's a 15-yard penalty. I didn't think he did anything that was overly egregious.
Yeah, but
he just broke the rule that's in the book that says the punishment is a 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, but it's a little different than holding.
No, but it isn't. Then it should say in the book and $15,000 fine.
No, but dangerous plays are subject to fine.
No, I disagree.
He did nothing above and beyond.
Are we in the second hour?
He did
nothing above and
beyond.
First hour was all about anti-Fred. I'm all with you right now, Fred.
What was egregious about that hit?
Listen to me. I thought the whole thing.
Are you going
to
call me an idiot and a curmudgeon?
It was a dangerous hit.
No, but you just go on and you won't let anyone talk.
I watched you two do it for an hour. I think you can hear me do it.
Listen.
That's the irony, Fred.
I think that there is... you know, an edict or a memo or whatever you want to call it from the league office that says that these types of dangerous plays, the helmet to helmet and the going at knees, are subject to fine and or suspension.
I don't think they
anybody
should.
Know anything about Andre Carter?
What was it? What about him?
Did he get fined?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't
think... Who do you call for that? I know all the writers, they call and they get that information. How do we call and get that information? Thank you. You've been helpful.
But
this has been on the books for years now.
What?
You know, these fines for these types of...
Yeah, I think it's stupid. Bill! I think egregious things should be fined. I think that was not egregious.
But I don't necessarily...
I think he was fined because you can't just let it go, and they didn't call it penalties, so I got to do something.
Well, I think even if they flagged it, they would have fined
that's
him.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
that's double jeopardy.
I don't think so. I'm with Fred on this, and I don't necessarily think it has to be...
Of course you are. You're always with Fred. You're a suck up.
Right, right. I don't think it has to be an egregious thing...
I do.
...to warrant a fine.
Why?
I think...
Then you should fine him for holding. Face mask.
But I don't think
fine
that's
him
the
for
same
a face
thing.
Mask.
See, they won't...
In the CBA, it does list that you are subject to fine for unnecessary roughness.
Right. What was
but
unnecessary
it's a penalty
about
also.
That? I don't think that was unnecessary.
It's illegal.
Everything's illegal. So a face mask should be a penalty. You could hurt a guy with a face
you
mask.
You could get fined for a face mask.
An egregious one, right?
Right.
Thank you.
Right. You don't think that was
that's
an egregious
no, I don't.
Passer?
No, I don't. I think it's by the letter of the law, it's a penalty in today's NFL. I don't think he did anything that was overly, you know, he wasn't on the ground and then did something
to
make sure he hurt him.
I think the difference is why it's in the NFL rules, why certain things are penalties. Those things are
because the defense can't do anything.
No, those things are penalties because they can hurt a player.
Every play on a football field can lead to an injury for a player.
You know what I'm saying, Andy?
No, I don't. I don't know why a running back can't get hurt when
he's
hitting
the knee. This is exactly what you accuse me of doing all the time.
Right.
Are you going to call me an idiot?
No, but it's frustrating to try to have a reasonable argument.
I am having a reasonable argument.
Well, everything. You could walk out of your house and get hit by a car. You know, so should we ban cars?
What are you, Tyrone Poole?
That's what you're saying. That's the type of argument that you're trying to lead down. And
play on a football field is dangerous.
It's a false choice.
It is. No, every play on a football field is dangerous.
Great. And every
that's no different than a cut block. That's no different than diving at a running back.
And I think nowadays, can't you get fined for cut blocks?
No, you can't.
No?
It's illegal football play. Unless it's out from outside or change of possession, there's ways.
But chop blocks you can get.
Chop blocks,
for.
I mean.
I didn't say chop block.
Okay.
I said cut block.
Well, that's what I meant.
And unlike most NFL analysts, that's not an interchangeable term. They are two very different things.
All right. Let's pump the brakes.
Really?
I think he got screwed.
Now I'm getting to see what I was looking like in the first hour. So
I don't think it's
brakes.
Fair that you should be fined for something that is simply an average. You broke the rule. You didn't try to hurt anybody. You didn't go above and beyond.
But a chop
agreed.
Block.
But the NFL doesn't think this is an average broke the rule type of play.
So Eric Weddle should be fined too.
Because the result.
Right?
I think Eric Weddle was subject to a fine.
And Andre Carter should be fined too.
I think
because they're all the same.
Yes, but I think Carter's would have been.
I think Carter should be fined.
I don't.
I don't think Weddle should be because I don't think what Weddle did even warranted a penalty.
I might agree with you that he shouldn't, but again, this is Paul's argument. By what the
blame
letter
the
of
rules.
The law is, the way they do it, he should be.
I need
blame
to read the language that says you're going to get fined no matter what you do,
but here's the bigger issue, and this is what the league just
what's the
really,
point of the penalty?
Okay, this is what the league just can't really come out and say, but this is what they're trying to do. They're trying to change a culture, and they realize that this change isn't going to happen in one season or two seasons. It's probably going to be a generation of players before they get the league to the place where they want to be, where guys are cleaning up all that stuff. But it's a slow process, and meanwhile, us as fans, we're seeing the ugliness of it. You know, 20 years from now, when you have a different generation who grew up knowing these rules and doing it different, you won't notice it as much.
I can't imagine how much I'm going to hate the NFL in 20 years. Legitimately, and I'm not just being stubborn
here. Yeah, but I could argue that, you know.
Once you go through 20 years of it, it won't be different to you anymore.
And I could also argue where, like 30 years ago, where they had clotheslines that were the bad
thing.
They didn't have the spearing that they have now and using your body as a missile because maybe the helmets weren't as good or the shoulder pads weren't as good.
It's just like when
I
was a kid.
For whatever reason, the type of violence is different than the violence back then.
But I didn't think that was violence. He tackled a guy in a spot where you're not allowed to tackle him.
Oh, I might agree with you.
That's why I don't think it deserves a fine. That's what to me is missing is that over the top violence, the unnecessary part.
But did you
to me, he did a normal tackle that just happens to be forbidden under current rules.
Oh yeah, no.
So I don't know why you get fined.
I'm with you on that.
I think you deserve a 15 yard penalty.
But you're trying to legislate that out, and penalties are obviously not enough to legislate
that's
it
not
out.
Fair.
Right. See, holding.
You're keeping the guy from doing his job, and you're not only hurting him on the field. Now you're taking literally taking away his livelihood, his money. His feet is family.
So the
his
next
career.
So hopefully, according to the NFL, the next time he won't do that.
Right. And then he'll be cut by North Turner,
but,
and he's out of a job. He's damned if he does,
but that's when you take
does. A guy like that needs to do to hold on to his job. Then maybe
to tackle,
maybe he shouldn't be there in the first
tackle
place.
Tackle a quarterback.
That's
his
that,
job.
Was that more?
I would say the same thing of Andre Carter. You're taking away his ability to do his job there.
See,
the only difference is I don't know if he's been fined.
Yeah, see.
The Andre Carter thing, you could never lead with the crown of your helmet like that.
See, I disagree. I think you were taught a long time ago that they used to teach
exactly.
People. No, but your face
and
was in his chest.
Right,
not
and that's what
Andre's
helmet.
Not the crown of your helmet.
No, Andre Carter's face hit his chest.
Oh, and I see,
Andre
I kind
Carter's,
of agree with
but
you.
But well, if that's what happened,
helmet,
that,
see,
made contact
that
up here.
That
was
a bad
call.
That might have been simply
no, I thought it was a bad call by their rules.
If that's what happened, then I'm with you now. I think it was a bad call. If that, I saw the crown of his helmet.
Yeah, I think his
he hit him right in the sternum.
I literally think it was the same hit of Willie McGinnis. I think it was very similar.
When the ref was describing the play, he specifically said the hairline.
Yes,
and that's so the crown of the helmet,
yeah. Right up here.
Right. Well,
the hairline, right here.
The crown is the
no,
top.
No, the hairline is yeah.
No, I
not
I,
Paul's hairline. That is the top
over the face mask, not the face
right,
mask.
Right.
He said the hairline
right,
of the
right.
helmet.
That's
the cuss, not
the
face
right.
mask.
Right. That's,
I think
that's
he
right.
hit him first with that.
Yeah. He
now
might,
he may be wrong.
He might have. From where
the
I was
ref
looking,
might be wrong.
From where we're looking 80 yards away.
But I want that to be
a
legal hit. I need that to be
a face mask should be technically okay.
Oh, a face mask has to be okay.
Has to be.
Has to be.
Because you were taught to square up, bull
with your head up.
Right.
Keep your head up when you're hitting. See what you hit. That's every coach that I ever had.
You can argue. You slide your head. He doesn't need to hit him right square in the solar plexus, as Bobby the Brain Heenan would say, or whatever.
You know, now you look at the Tracy White hit at the end of the game where he
that you can't get out of your head.
No, but
in about 8 years from now, we're going to be doing PFW in progress, and he's going to say, "Remember that Tracy White hit?"
But the reason,
you're going to really like getting to
the
know.
The reason
this week.
I bring it up is because he did have his head to the side. He planted that guy in the ground, but it was as clean a tackle by today's rules as you could get.
No, I know, but my only question is. How can you I know they missed the penalty. It was a clear penalty. I'm not arguing that. I don't like the rule, but it's the rule. I don't see how by just a normal breaking of a rule, you also get fined. I don't think there was an intent to injure. I don't think there was an extra violence, anything.
How many times do you really think there was an intent to injure on one of those plays?
I don't know.
Those guys always get fined.
I don't
This one
know.
Seems to have really bothered you.
Yes.
I don't think there was an intent.
I think it was a makeup fine.
I don't think it was an intent to injure. I think he was doing anything he could to get the guy on the ground.
Right, I think it was a makeup fine is what it was.
But
he hadn't been penalized on the field, so we got a fine.
Like for example, do you think Bernard Pollard, when he tore Brady's ACL in 08, was that any more egregious than that?
No.
But the only difference is that he had a brace. I actually think this was less egregious than that because, I mean, I thought Pollard was less egregious than this because I thought Pollard was engaged with a blocker at the time.
Right.
But
I wouldn't have argued for Pollard to get fined.
No, but my point is when you have these big hits over the middle that these guys lower the lights, I don't think they're trying to hurt the guy. They're trying to separate the player from the ball. The NFL is legislating that out. They're going to get fined on the field, penalized on the field, and fined off of it.
But right now, to me, you're legislating out tackling.
They are legislating out a certain type of tackling.
I agree that there should be nothing wrong with tackling a quarterback below the waist.
Which is why
when he has the ball.
But
I agree with you.
And if you want to do that, if you want to legislate it out, okay, I understand you made it illegal as a penalty. I just don't see how you can fine a guy for a simple tackle that you've decided is illegal.
And I'll tell
Let
you why.
Let it be on the field,
I'll
the penalty.
Tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because it may be worth a team to take a 15-yard or a 10-yard penalty and knock a quarterback out of the game.
Sure.
It's worth that. But it may not be worth it if I'm going to lose $50,000.
So we can assess whether a guy is faking an injury, but we can't assess whether a guy is trying to hurt someone?
That's not the point. It's
right.
not what
and,
I said.
And I also
that
think
is not what I said.
But I also think if you're trying to take a crack at taking the guy out of the game, no fine's going to dissuade you from doing that either.
Right.
But, so that's a moot point.
It might.
Why?
Money is important to these guys, you know.
But he would just get paid. If a coach told him to take him out, the coach will pay him $15,000.
Well, $15,000 isn't going to dissuade anybody.
Maybe I'm naive.
Well, that's first offense, but if a guy's a repeat offender, that goes up, and they said that
How many times do you think they're going to try to take the quarterback out?
And they said it could end up being a
You're
suspension.
You're right. If every week the outside linebacker is running into the quarterback the exact same way, I'm going to start to get suspicious. Maybe I'm naive. Do you think that happens a lot?
I don't.
That they legitimately are trying to take a gay guy.
I think you get a
guy out of the game.
Right. I think you get a guy like Dunter.
It'd be a hate crime if you take that.
I think you get a guy like Dunter Robinson. It wasn't on a quarterback, but this has got a repeat offender that did the exact same thing he did last year. Did it again.
But I don't think he's doing it because he's trying to.
Can I finish for a second?
I thought Chris Collins was out of line.
Whether or not he's doing it on purpose, this guy needs to be trained not to do it anymore. You do that, you got to train this guy to stop. If it means fining him or suspending him so that he finally says, you know, I got to work on doing this differently. However it is, that's what the league's trying to do.
So Garay has a history.
I don't know about Garay.
See, I don't either.
I don't know about Garay.
No one can give me a good reason as to why he was fined.
But maybe that's
other than makeup call.
Maybe that's why it was only $15,000. I don't know.
He doesn't describe it as only.
Yeah, I think that's run of the mill personal foul.
Yeah,
fine.
I think anything above that is a lot.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll do one quick call, then we have to do picks.
Oh boy, a call. This never goes well.
Nathan from Marlboro. Hey, Nathan.
Hi, guys.
Hey, we can hear you. Can you hear us?
What's up, Nathan?
Apparently not.
Oh, my God.
This is an
Hello?
Hey, Nathan.
All right. Good.
Good.
You got us?
Yes, I got you.
Okay.
So I got a quick question.
Loose wire?
On the defensive side of the ball this week, who are you looking to step up? I'm looking for McCourty to step up this week to go semi-back to what he was doing last year, and or even Lee Bodden to start doing a little better on his pass defense.
I'm with you. McCourty's the guy, especially if Stevie Johnson can't play. You have a quarterback who's going to give you opportunities, make some plays.
Even if he can't play, we're not talking about one of the, you know, big elite guys.
Well, I don't know. He's
the
number one receiver, and you can't even expect
him to
cover number one receivers.
I'm expecting him because of that to do better. I'm expecting Haynesworth and Wilfork to step up because I'm afraid of the running game.
You should be.
You know?
Yeah, I look in for everybody to improve. I think the pass rush. I'm
Bill Belichick over here.
I'm dead serious.
I think we can all get better at a job starts with coaching.
No, he asked about defense. I don't think anybody should be walking around with their head held high after 2 weeks on defense. And
what about
I think
offense?
Offense, everybody can hold their head up at the meetings.
Ocho Cinco, I want him to step up this week.
What about Taylor Price? I'm looking to see with Hernandez out. I think we may see a little more of some Taylor Price.
Well, I'm looking for him to step on, not step up.
it's possible.
I agree with you, but I don't think that would be great for Ocho if there's an opportunity here and Taylor Price takes it. I think you need to get Ocho going, and this might be a way to get him going.
This is a bad offensive line that Buffalo has. It's traditionally been a bad offensive line. It's banged up as it is. I look for the front seven to make some plays in this game, get after Fitzpatrick, force him into some bad throws, and I want to see the secondary take advantage of that.
Yes, that sounds perfect.
I don't want to win this game 38-30.
Okay, thanks for the call, Nathan. That's Nathan from Marlboro with the call and the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Where's Eric?
Should we take a quick break here? Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll either do picks if Eric gets back or maybe another email or two.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette, go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Is that bacon I smell?
Grandma must be cooking.
She makes everything with bacon. Bacon pie, bacon shrimp, bacon on the cob.
I know one thing that tastes better than her cooking.
What's that?
The new Bacon McDouble from McDonald's. It's made with two savory pieces of bacon, melty American cheese.
Mm, that sounds better than anything Grandma can whip up.
I heard that.
The new Bacon McDouble is here. Right now, you can get two Bacon McDoubles or two large fries or one of each for just $3.33. Price of single item posted on menu board. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Hey, just got back from Dunkin' Donuts, grabbed a big and toasty. Any messages?
The presentation needs its 14th revive.
Cool.
You have to fly into China today.
Oh, yeah.
You have a middle seat.
Booyah!
And your car is getting towed.
Bring it!
As we speak, right there.
Oh, I live for this!
A big day calls for the big and toasty. It's two fried eggs, cherrywood smoked bacon and cheese on Texas toast. Grab this breakfast favorite at Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
People are excited about the new Dunkin' Donuts K-Cup packs. When Joy Otero heard the news on Dunkin's Facebook page, she wrote, "Love it. Come do the Joy Joy Dance! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, smiley face." Maybe she should try the decaf? America's favorite coffee is now in K-Cup packs. Hurry in today for all five delicious varieties. Available only at Dunkin' Donuts stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
PFW in progress. 508-298-0398. Or webradio at patriots.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Remember, after PFW in progress at 2, it's John Rook with Patriots Playbook. And then at 4 o'clock, it's the big Pete Shepard Show with the B-Low and the Down-Low. So the first hour of the Pete Shepard Show today will be dedicated to your fantasy football needs.
Henry, Joe Hijimi.
You should just say your fantasy needs. I think you
so
might
that's
get more
at
4 listeners.
O'clock. Gina Daytona says, it looked to me that the San Diego guy dove at Tom Brady's knees. Why isn't anyone talking about that? The refs didn't even call a penalty on a low hit. Everyone says, oh, he was blocked into him.
No, he
didn't
wasn't.
Didn't look like that to me. When you dive at the level off the ground, that only thing you are going to hit is someone's knees, and if you're lucky, it might be the quarterback. What did you guys see? Shouldn't this guy have gotten a penalty or fine? Well, he did get a fine.
And he should have got a penalty and not a fine.
He got a $15,000 fine today. And, yes, he should have got a penalty, but the refs missed it. So
we talked about it at length yesterday and for the previous 20 minutes.
Gene,
now
go check the weather.
The email may have not come in before we talked about it today, but we did talk about it a lot yesterday.
We kid because
we all because it happens to be one of those rare plays we all agreed on. We all thought it was a penalty.
Now, you guys think it's a finable offense.
I do think it's a finable offense. I think that you should be fined for unnecessary roughness.
And whether or not,
but it wasn't unnecessary.
It was.
And Paul, forget about the word "should."
Personal foul.
In today's
roughing the passer,
league,
that's what they do.
They fine you for that. You know.
Yeah, and I think they should.
Terrible.
I think it's a bad rule. I think you should be able to tackle a guy when he has the football, and that's all he was doing. But they've legislated hits below the waist to a quarterback in
the
pocket.
The nipples.
If you're in the pocket, you can't hit the quarterback below the waist. That's what they made a rule, so you have to adhere to it.
Right.
You don't have to like it.
I won't be watching football in 20 years. There's no doubt in my mind.
But you know, I started to get onto that too, and you made that comment before. Like back when I was a kid and I started watching football in the 70s, you know, with Paul, everybody had two backs in the backfield at the same time. Either one of them could get it. You ran I formations and pro sets, and you know, It got wacky one year, as Bill likes to call Detroit personnel, when everybody's, too tight, you know. And everybody ran the same thing. It was two wide receivers, a tight end, two backs in the backfield, and you ran the ball, and on third down, maybe you threw it. If you watch one of those games now from 1975, you'd be bored to tears. But we thought it was exciting, and it was exciting.
But see,
but it was a whole different style. In 20 years, you're going to be watching football, and you're never going to remember that these plays that you're missing used to be legal. You're not going to remember that.
I will. And I'm going to remember when they throw a flag on a guy for tackling a quarterback, but they happen to tackle him at the knee.
It's like,
to me, that's very different.
Yeah, but less guys will do it because they've been taught.
Maybe
it wasn't.
And less guys will do it, and then the guy runs.
That's my point. Is you're not
or the guy throws because you can't hit him in the knee, and that's the only place you were going to hit him. Again, I just think it hurts the quality of the game. It unbalances the competitive nature of the game.
And it's just like when people are watching the game today, they're looking at, if they're new fans, they're not looking at, oh, geez, it doesn't seem like they have as much defensively as they used to because they don't know anything. I don't know anything else.
A couple things. Jeff Tarpinian has been promoted off the practice squad, and defensive back Josh Victorian has been signed to the practice squad. Chung Vollmer, Hainsworth, Wright, Hernandez, and Dan Gronkowski were not at practice. So now I guess Eric.
We had an open roster.
Don't we have to make a roster move?
Ed's got released, or Eads, whatever his name is.
Oh, Eads.
Well, that wasn't on here. Oh, here it is. Yeah, it is. Eads, the first thing. Eads released. All right.
Eads out of here.
All right. Well, it's Thursday, so we can actually do something that probably won't.
Was Jeff Tarpinian.
Probably won't cause an argument, and that's the picks.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
So Paul.
Oh, I'm damn sure it will. Why would you say such a dumb thing that it won't cause an argument?
How did last week turn out?
Did I win again?
A little bit better for everybody. However, Eric took the win.
Proves that early in the season, it's just a coin flip. Right.
With a 14-2 record.
Well, pretty good.
I would say it's remarkable he did the same in the paper, but since he holds the paper in front of him when making his picks, it's not remarkable.
I am like literally like a 6-game difference between the radio and the paper. Fred was 13-3, I was 12-4, Andy was 10-6.
That's tough. Wow,
with the spread, a very impressive performance by
Andy.
Fred. F. Kirsch.
Proving yet again early season.
9-6-1, the only winning record among us. Eric was 7-8-1. Andy and I were 6-9-1.
Oh, I remember I said that because I knew he was going opposite us a lot.
Yeah. So for this 2-week totals now, Eric and I are tied at 23-9. Andy's Fred is 22-10. Andy is 20-12. With the spread, Fred is the only one above 500. 15-14-3. And Andy and Eric are 13-16-3, and I am in last place with the spread, 12-17-3. I just gave you props for your 14-2 finish, Eric.
Thank you.
Eric, you're out of breath.
Yeah, I was trying to get here because I saw it.
Playing the role of Fred Kirsch.
Wait for me.
No, we were actually, we were waiting for you.
Oh, we took a break.
Well, I know Fred doesn't, Fred likes to hurry.
We've been vamping.
Have you?
After I yelled at Fred,
well,
and he yelled at me
really
in the first hour.
Arguments
and then
today.
Andy started yelling at Fred, and Fred yelled at him in the second hour.
What about?
All kinds
Anything
of stuff.
Serious?
Nothing.
Faking
nothing,
injuries.
Nothing
basically.
Important.
Oh, it got serious with those two. They were mad at each other.
Who was
they
faking
were...
an injury?
Right.
He goes right.
All right. Well, Eric said, we already know who wasn't at practice.
You saw my tweet? Or did you see Jeff Howe's fake tweet?
No. Well,
oh, what's Jeff Howe's fake tweet? What's that?
He asked if he could leave early so he could tweet, and they said he could, so he ran out of there before practice ended. I don't know if he actually did tweet or not, because I really don't pay attention to him and his tweets.
Oh, what was
a little tonality to that, no?
What was so worthy of leaving early to tweet?
I got some information for these writers. Nobody really cares if they're first with their tweets.
No.
Nobody cares.
No, especially when, you know what, all of the Patriots guys, they're all following all of us.
Right, and you know, the minute somebody tweets, somebody else tweets it, it doesn't really matter. And plus, the fans are not on their phones like these guys are. So you can tweet at 9:10 in the morning. Most people don't see it till 11, 12 o'clock later. You know?
Yeah, they see it whenever they're on their phone.
Right.
So if you're last and they happen to see it first,
exactly.
You get the,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
What was vital about tweeting today? And I know they made a roster move with Tarpinian and Eads, but what was, like,
nothing.
You needed to leave practice to tweet that?
I don't know.
You replaced one bottom of the roster
sure
linebacker
wasn't
with another.
Being excused to go to the bathroom?
No, because I heard him ask. He's like, if we leave here now, can we tweet?
No, I heard the new rule now, Stacey said, that you have to ask to go to the bathroom. You have to.
I hope he responds quickly to me, because otherwise we'll have an issue.
All right. We do have to hurry now.
We got
about 15 minutes left, and we have a lot of games.
Kevin, a couple of games are going to need spreads on.
And my computer has crapped out. I can't even get the browser going.
All right. So well, I'll open it up.
It's all up to you.
It's San Francisco.
So we can't skip over that 1 o'clock game on Sunday to come back to it?
I'll do it.
Oh, okay.
I'll try to improvise. San Francisco is at Cincinnati with the Bengals by 2.5.
I'll take the Bengals to win and cover at home. I don't love Andy Dalton, but they're at home, so I'll take them. Plus, they're all coked up or whatever. They got a new supply of drugs in town.
Yeah, and I don't like Andy Hart, so I'm going to pick the 49ers. Thank you.
It wasn't even that funny.
Oh yes. Says the arbiter and paradigm of comedy over
here.
Wow. Exactly.
Two big words in one sentence.
I'm going to take Cincinnati. I don't feel real good about it, but
them
San
big
Francisco
words from the little man
on the road. I can't have any faith in them.
Yeah,
I'll take the Bengals at home.
I'm getting fooled again. I'm going with the 49ers, so we'll see.
Thank you, Kevin.
They don't have any receivers. Why are you going with them?
I just don't have any faith in Andy Dalton. I know
I
he threw
either.
For some good yards last week, but I don't know. Something about him irks me.
Okay. Too much time spent on Cincy 49ers. Let's go.
Houston at New Orleans. The Saints by 4.
Houston at New Orleans.
Good measuring stick for your Texans.
It is a good measuring stick for my Texans. I'm going to say they don't measure up.
See
and go with the New Orleans Saints at home. Breeze and company take it to, what's his name? New defense.
Kubiak. And those guys.
Yeah, I meant the other guy.
Wade Phillips.
Wade Phillips. Yeah, and everybody's raving about Mario Williams has looked good or whatever. I thought he looked like a big fat guy trying to play linebacker. I didn't think he looked great.
You know, that pretty much came as advertised, and that's what he is.
I'll take the Saints at home. What was the number again? I'm sorry?
Four.
Yeah, give me the – I'll take them both ways.
It is kind of funny that we say foe and a hay, and I think that's kind of, you know, and straight up four. So one's straight and one's hay.
Only Andy.
Only Andy. That's right.
Next thing, it's going to be like Dick LeBeau is going to be the coordinator, and that's going to be funny.
Oh, my God.
All hell's going to break loose. I'm going to take the Saints.
But if his name were Dick Sweat or Dick Hurts or Dick Curl. God.
I'm going to take the Saints, too, but I am going to take the number because I'm just cutting it down the middle and hedging my bet here.
Okay. So. Okay.
What?
I heard the last thing
I'm
you
sure
said.
There's a Richard Lick out there.
Did you get that?
I did.
Andy? Paul?
I'm Paul. Thanks.
He's fat. I'm not. He's old, I'm not.
I have a small head.
He's bald, I'm not.
Giants, Philadelphia.
What?
Don't know if Michael Vick's playing.
More importantly.
Eagles by 7.5.
More importantly, but is Young available, or is it Kafka starting?
Well, I believe it's Kafka starting.
I think Kafka's
starting.
Start.
Yeah, he's gotten the snaps. They actually split snaps yesterday, Vick and Kafka.
But
so Vick says he's fine.
If we can get it real quick, I might change my pick on this if someone tells me that Vince Young is playing. But
would you pick against them if that were the case?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dumb move. Comeback player of the year.
Yeah. All right, who do you got?
Giants lost somebody else. Who'd they get hurt this week? They lost another starter.
Dominic Hickson.
No, I said somebody else beyond
really?
That.
Really? After that great catch that he had in the end zone?
I thought they lost somebody else. But anyway, I will take the Eagles to win.
Eagles to win.
I like the game.
And cover?
I don't know. What was the spread?
7.5.
I'll take the points. This will be a fight.
Yeah, yeah. Same here. Eagles to win, Giants points.
Did somebody fired it stinks.
You.
I'm going to take the Giants to win outright. I think they take advantage of the Vickless Giants. Eagles. Sorry.
See, I think Vick plays, and not only does he play, but because he's a little tentative in the pocket, he runs more because the Giants with the Giants rush, and I think because of that, actually Philly wins this game and covers.
Wait, what?
So I'm alone, just so you know. Everybody else picked the Eagles to win.
Vic's fear of the Giants' rush actually forces him to run more, sooner than he would normally, and I think that
that helps
turns
him.
It to a positive for
and
the
to add on Fred's thing, it's actually kind of funny the way everybody says he needs to stop running, and he keeps getting hurt in the pocket.
Right.
He gets hurt in the pocket more than
by his own guy this time, right?
This week was just a fluke. The way that people talked about this thing was unbelievable. That was as fluky a play as you could have.
He was his own guy. He got pushed into.
Now, see where that really hurts them is he's going to get a real one where he's running down the field and gets cold clocked and miss another game, and now you got a fluke one on top of the real one and you miss half your year.
Exactly. Miami is at Cleveland. Browns by 2.5.
I will take the Dolphins at home. I will continue.
They're at Cleveland.
Yeah.
I will take the Browns at home. Peyton Hillis runs all over Miami.
I like the Browns to win pretty easily here, too.
I just hope the Browns can find somebody to match up with all-world receiver Brandon Marshall.
I'll take Cleveland, too. I think Miami's a better team, but I think that that whole situation there is a mess with the Dolphins, with Sperano.
Yeah.
And I think Miami's a better team. They're on the road. That's where they're more comfortable. But I guess I'll give one more week to Cleveland before I give up on them too.
Right, and I'm with Paul. I think the whole it's a mess in Miami, and Sperano doesn't have a clue, and he admits it. And so you got to go with Cleveland.
Denver at Tennessee, Titans by 7.
I'll take Tennessee. I don't ever foresee myself picking Denver.
Yeah.
Certainly not on the road.
I was surprised at how well the Titans played last week against a good Baltimore team.
Big win. And
the Hasselbeck's got them playing pretty well early on. I'll go with the Titans.
He's healthy. He's healthy and he's a veteran quarterback.
That's the difference.
Got to give him that.
Yeah, I'll take Denver here. I think Tennessee stinks, and I don't think.
And Denver's good?
No, but I think that, bad teams, it tends to even out. You know, Denver's. 1-1, Titans are 1-1. I don't think either one of these teams is going anywhere, but I don't know. I guess I'll go with an upset.
You're going
touchdown.
With Tebow. I mean, God's going with Tebow, so why wouldn't you?
I can't predict that. I can't change it after the fact. If Tebow plays, then.
Well, he's going to play receiver, right, still?
Yeah, I have no interest in picking an upset with him involved in it.
I'm going to go with Tennessee.
Andrew not an upset Cobb. When God's on your side.
We have Detroit at Minnesota.
Detroit.
Vikings getting 3.5 at home.
It's not enough. Detroit rolling.
Yeah. I like the way they're playing. I don't like the Vikings with McNabb, so I'll take the Lions both ways.
Lions got it going. They're believing early on. They're winning on the road. They're winning at home. I'll take the Lions to keep it
going.
What's
the number, 7?
3.5.
3.5. Oh, okay.
Nothing like 7, actually.
But, geez.
But there are, a road favorite for a team that lost 26 road games
right,
in a row?
Just the Lions being favored is amazing. And I'm going to go with the Lions. They're for real. Schwartzy.
Jacksonville with Blaine Gabbert at Carolina with Cam Newton. Two of the top quarterbacks taken last year.
Speaking of the Rooks.
Panthers by 3.5.
I am going to go with the team whose rookie first-round pick quarterback has 2 games under his belt, and in those 2 games threw for 400 yards. It seems like a good pick.
I like the Panthers in this game, too, by a slim margin, but that margin being the play of Cam Newton, I think. So I'll take the Panthers.
You're going to lay the points, or are you going to take
them? I'll take them both ways.
Okay. I am going to take the Jags.
Really? Paul being opposite.
A contrarian? We hardly ever see that.
First of all, I think that Cam Newton is rightly getting some credit for all the yards he's passing for, but they're not winning, and they're not winning because they're not a very good team. It's not his fault. They're just not a very good team. I think Jacksonville has more around Gabbert than Newton has around him, and I'll take them to go on the road and win.
I'm going to go with the Panthers.
We got that going for us.
We'll see.
Kansas City, 0-2 Chiefs.
Soon to be 0-3.
Travel to what you could presume to be a disgruntled San Diego, where the Chargers are favored by 14.5.
14.5.
That's a lot of points.
It is, but
I'll lay them. Yeah. Why not? Chiefs are a debacle.
They really are. It's a mess. I'll take the Chargers and those, can lay those points.
Yeah, I'll take the points. I think the Chargers will win, but I can't give them 14.5.
You
have to factor in the 3 turnovers for the North turnovers team,
right.
as Andy coined the phrase last week.
Paul, because as a follower of the AFC West for years, you can never tell what's going to happen in those games. So
when you were a Bronco fan?
Right. Thanks, Lamar.
Yeah.
Him and Lamar Hunt been following the AFC West.
Paul, Andy, are those the same socks you had on Tuesday? Because they also have holes in them.
No, they're different socks, but they have holes in them.
What do you get?
How do you get holes in the sides?
All
like
your
that?
Ankles.
I think it's because he does so much weightlifting and running.
I think there's like a seam that comes together, and when I pull them up too hard, it pops it open.
Oh, so you're just so strong, you pull your socks up and they rip.
I pick things up and put them down.
Do you have like a hook? Because your arms can't reach down there.
I knew there
you
was
have, like a hook.
I actually
used to actually.
I was a little disappointed. I thought that was
T-Rex arms,
right?
His T-Rex arms. The Jets are at Oakland.
Still say, let's get the tape measure.
To preview where the Patriots are going next
Does
week.
Your arms start at the top of the fat or at the actual bone? How do you measure that?
Wow.
He choked on his fat
chortle
throat or whatever's in there.
Chortle.
The gullet.
Chortle.
What was the game?
Jets at Oakland.
The Heidi game.
Raiders getting 3.5 at home.
Yeah, that's not enough. The Jets are a pretty good football team. Better than the Oakland Raiders.
Yep.
And I will take the Jets to win on the road.
I concur.
And cover.
Eric concurs. Paul?
Yes. I'm going to take the Jets as well. I think this could be a tough spot for them, however, but I will take the Jets.
I agree, and this is my upset of the week. Oakland Raiders beat the Jets.
Baltimore at St. Louis. St. Louis, another home dog, getting 4.
Yeah, they're going to need more than 4 to win this game. I will take the Ravens to win and cover. St. Louis has no talent around the Sam-chise. Even if Steven Jackson comes back, it sounds like he's going to be dealing with this injury throughout the year. There's just nothing there. You know, you got one player on each side of the ball. You got Quinn on defense, and you got Sam-chise on offense, and nothing else.
I hate to say it, but in week 2, they look like a team that had given up already against the Giants.
Certainly
so I'll take the Ravens both ways.
Yeah, I think the Ravens bounce back from a terrible loss last week, and I think they take it out on the Rams.
I'm with you. I wasn't impressed with the Rams and with Mickey Spagnuolo.
How about Josh McDaniels?
Yeah.
I think he was okay, actually.
Well, he's got a great quarterback to work with.
Atlanta at Tampa Bay. Hold on a second.
Okay.
Hold, please.
Off the board.
Yeah. Tampa Bay by 1.5.
Ugh.
Why?
That's poor to me.
Why was this off the board? What's the
major? It's not off the board. I wrote it down wrong, and I looked at it and I thought to myself, I think I wrote this down
wrong. Paul's just bored.
Well, because it opened up with the Falcons by 1.5. The line has moved 3 points.
Hmm. Why?
My guess is that everybody's betting Tampa Bay.
Where is it?
In Tampa Bay.
I'll take Atlanta.
Yeah, me too.
Matt Ryan's healthy, right? I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, why the hell would it? Tampa Bay, fraud team.
Yeah, I think. To be honest with you, I agree on Tampa Bay, but I think the other team is a fraud team as well. I'll take the home team. I'll take Tampa Bay.
I agree with Paul.
I think they both
in terms of expectations, Atlanta isn't as good, but they're still a better
team than Tampa Bay,
so I'll go with the Falcons.
I think they're a fraud good team. I think they're a fine team.
They're not.
Mid-level, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Arizona is at Seattle, where the Seahawks are yet another home. A lot of home dogs.
Seahawks suck.
Getting
a lot of bad home teams. That's why.
A lot of people
say
they may
be the
worst.
Mike Lombardi on NFL.com said that Seattle's almost like an expansion team.
They suck.
Yeah.
Pete, not doing so well.
No,
I'll take Arizona to win. And what were the points?
3.
Does it matter?
Well, you know, if it was really big.
Yeah, but it's not. Yeah. Cardinals both ways. Seahawks are packing it in.
Tough one for Paul.
After 2 weeks.
Two just absolutely god-awful football teams. Yep. And Seattle's a tough place to win.
Yep. They shouldn't even show this game in their home markets.
I will take Arizona. I don't feel great about it, but
I'm going to go with Arizona, too.
I think they have Kevin Cobb. He's better than Tavares Jackson, so I'll take Arizona. Green Bay at Chicago. Rematch of the NFC title game in Chicago. Bears by 3.5.
I'll take
the
points.
Do I have that one right?
What?
No, I don't.
Oh.
There's another home dog, Chicago.
Well,
getting,
I'm still
going
to go with the
half.
Same team. I'll take the Packers on the road to win and cover.
Yep.
I know people are, you know, around here trying to rip their defense and say it's just as bad as the Patriots. I feel better about their playmakers and their personnel on defense and their ability to come together.
Of course you do.
And I like James Starks.
And I also don't like that the Bears quarterback was throwing a hissy fit on the sideline after getting sacked 800 times.
Because he's a douche.
So I'll take the Packers.
Yeah, I'm with the boys here. I'll take the Packers as well.
You have to give Jay Cutler credit. He's never hidden the fact that he's a douche. Every time I've ever seen him speak, act with a team, he's always been true to himself. He's a douche.
Yeah, he's a John McEnroe of football without the talent.
You took the Packers too, hi-ho?
McEnroe was a douche.
Oh my God!
Oh, I thought he just yelled and stuff in the court.
No, he was
like
a,
to coaches.
He was
and...
a COCK.
Oh.
Yeah. He used to call the linesmen like Mr. Incompetent and stuff.
D-I-C-K. F-U-C.
Hey, hey.
All right,
Pittsburgh at Indy.
What? It was a song from Britney Spears. If you seek Amy,
we gotta hurry.
What was the game?
Pittsburgh at Indy, the Sunday night game.
I'll take Pittsburgh. Because despite Paul Perillo saying, don't worry, the Colts are fine without Peyton Manning.
He went back on that.
The Colts are not fine without Peyton Manning.
First of all, I said I was wrong. Second of all, I never said they're fine without Peyton
Manning.
You said
they're fine.
I said it wouldn't be a train wreck.
Will they or will they not get to 8-8?
No.
Okay, thank you.
And as Fred already said, unlike you, I've already said I was wrong, much like I was wrong about the Patriots and Chargers last week.
Tell me
which
when
you
I'm
also
wrong.
Refused to admit.
Game played out how I expected it.
I'll take the Steelers, Paul, both ways.
Yeah, until you see something resembling a pulse.
How about Chris Polian?
I got to take Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Here's the keys to the franchise. Oh, by the way, Manning's not going to play. Good luck, kid.
Steelers, two games in a row. They feasted on Seattle last week. They're going to feast on Indy this week.
And you're going to mock
and
them.
And people are going to overrate the Steelers.
Well, that's good, though.
Who will not go into the playoffs.
Because then the Patriots
contend.
Will be the underdog going right. into that game.
Absolutely.
By the way, Mike Wallace could kill this team, too.
60 minutes?
Ahead. Isn't that his name?
Mike
yes.
Wallace.
Oh, okay.
Washington is at Dallas in the Monday night game. Hardly ever get to see that.
There.
Hardly ever get to see that kind of a rivalry for a Monday night game. Washington-Dallas. Fans are clamoring for it. Cowboys by
sarcasm.
5.5.
Sarcasm alert.
What's the is Romo's going to play, right?
As far as I know.
It's not a guarantee, but.
Because if Romo plays, I think the Cowboys will kill the Redskins. I think they are the biggest fraud of the fraud teams right now. They're 2-0, right?
Correct.
Yep. Yeah. They're just not a
Rex
very good
Grossman
team.
Said they're going to win the East.
Rex Grossman's an idiot, and they're not the team that they're pretending they are. So I will take with the Romos.
Yeah. I like the effort Romo showed last week. I think he won his team over finally after a lot of miscues over the years in big spots. He showed them what he's really made of. I think that's the start of a little turnaround for them.
Yep.
Starts with the Redskins.
Yeah.
I'll take the Cowboys, too. Not necessarily as sold on him as it seems like my colleagues are. But
I'm unsold on the Redskins.
I'm taking the home
I'm picking
team
against
here.
The Skins.
If this game was in Washington, I'd be taking Washington.
I'm not sold on either team, but if Romo has a fractured rib and he had a punctured lung, if he plays, even if he plays, I think it's got to affect him.
I agree.
I'm going with the Redskins. I'm going to go with the Skins.
The Tannehans?
Yeah. But I, having said that.
John Rook supporting breast cancer right now. Not supporting breast cancer, but more, you know, the research.
I'm a big breast supporter.
What's those bumper stickers I like, Eric?
Save the tatas.
Yeah, save the tatas with a pig.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
Who came up with that campaign for the American Cancer Society?
Andy Hart.
There's somebody in our parking lot that has that bumper sticker.
That's probably where I read it.
Yeah. That's where I've seen it, yeah.
Do they have nice tatas?
I've never seen who actually owns the car.
Could be Paul. If you can get past the hair, his breasts are nice.
Oh, my God. He's just going on and on.
John Rook's here. Yeah. We got one more game to pick.
All right.
He's eating cookies.
We're going back up to the 1 o'clock games.
Oh, let's go back.
Back to the 1 o'clock games. New England Patriots. Battle for the division in Buffalo, Andy Hart. Two 2-0 teams. Buffalo getting 8.5.
8.5.
That is not a naif. Because the Bills are going to take one on the chin in this one. The Gronkowski brothers will be partying it up in the end zone in Buffalo. 3 touchdowns between them. Another touchdown for Ocho Cinco. The feel-good story of the week is continuing with the Patriots offense. Not 400 yards. I'll say 3 and change for Tom Brady. A 100-yard effort for the first one of the season for Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. And at least 2 interceptions on the defensive side of the ball. Love it, believe it, live it, New England Patriots.
I really don't have a good feeling about this game, but I do have a good feeling about Tom Brady. 390 yards for him, if we're throwing out number projections here. The Patriots,
that'll never happen, because if he gets to 390, they'll get him to 4.
Patriots win by a field goal.
Whoa.
So I'll take the Bills with the points.
No chance.
Okay, yeah, I think the Patriots win this one.
A lot of scoring.
38-27.
So fairly close when you consider.
That's an 11-point game.
No, I know, but if they're going to give up.
He doesn't think you can do math, Fred.
You know, if you're going to give up 27 points to the Bills, you're in trouble.
I am becoming.
You give up 27 points to everybody.
Yeah. I'm becoming a believer in the Buffalo offense. I think it's a little bit different than what we've seen in recent years with this close to the vest. We're going to try to control the clock for 40 minutes every game. I don't think that's the way they play anymore. And if you play like that against the Patriots, you're going to get killed.
Yeah.
So I think if you can run and pass and have some balance, you'll keep the Patriots' defense on its heels a little bit. But I agree with Andy. The last thing you said, a couple of turnovers for the defense, and I think that's, as has been the formula for the last year plus now, just a couple of plays on defense allows you to get the separation you need. The offense is unstoppable.
Yeah, I'm impressed with the Bills as well. Patriots win. They don't cover.
Oh, boy.
Steven Ridley has 7 carries in this game.
Seven
carries.
For how many yards?
About 30.
Seven.
We scared the crap out of him today. He walked into the locker room with a Red Sox hat on. We were like, you better take that off. No, I didn't.
Because as soon as that happened, you were on your phone. I was wondering if you were tweeting that.
No, I should have. We worried him. He's like, I thought I was doing the right thing.
Wearing a Red Sox hat. I was doing the right thing.
And we're like, the ship is sinking. Take it off.
Yeah, he. You're going to see his involvement increase.
Okay, I expect.
All right.
He's the best back on the team.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening all week. Up next is John Rook with the Patriots Playbook. John, what do you got going?
A little bit of Mark Kelso from the Bills Radio Network, a little bit of Russell S. Baxter, a little bit of Eric Scalavino.
That's enough of Eric Scalavino.
None of Andy Hart.
All right, well, that's coming up. And, of course, at 4, Pete Shepard and B-Lo with the Down Low, the first hour devoted to your fantasy football needs. We'll see you next Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.